Tonight, Brandon C. Price rides sidecars. We cover the DNC live with Leader Lang, Representative Martwick, and Representative Sandeck. Then later, Brandon Weatherby checks in once again as it's pretty late with Patty Vasquez.
That's amazing. Representative Sandeck, who stepped down on Sunday? It's that would be so wild.
Representative Batnick. That was a typo.
And
I apologize.
Martwick, yeah. That was,
yes.
That
Martwick
would be,
was set.
That would be such a breaking story.
Right.
I would be so excited.
Yeah, Martwick was set in the intro, so that's awesome. Just missed the other one.
Wild. I would be breaking news. And there's a lot of news going on anyway, but the fact that see, Representative Sandeck was one of the most powerful Republicans in the House of Representatives in the state of Illinois, and he stepped down on Sunday under a lot of mystery, saying that there was a cybersecurity hack.
Man, it's like they had all these terrible things happen, and they're just spreading it out week to week, and to see like in each side is doing terrible things. I mean, this is depressing, isn't it?
Is it like taking each other out one by one? Did you see that Donald Trump encouraged the Russians who hacked? They're saying that the Russians hacked the DNC, so they should go ahead and hack and find out where all those 30,000 emails are.
Yeah, and he wasn't saying that he told them to do it. He wasn't saying he like wanted them and to do what ended up happening. I think it's a play to show that Hillary's campaign had messed up. You know what I mean? I think it, and we're talking about it right now, so it worked.
Right.
I don't know. I don't, because he's very, he does
why
seem
would
very
you encourage,
close to
why
Putin.
Would you, why is that funny as a global leader?
Oh, I don't think it's funny.
I'm saying, well, I mean, he says things because he thinks he's being funny, mm-hmm. or, you know, sort of twisting a phrase, or, you know, it being bravado, that kind of thing. I know you didn't have a chance to hear any of the speeches today. We're going to play some of the clips.
Cool.
That I was listening to and watching is, again, I listened to to Bernie Sanders on Monday night. You said mm-hmm. you saw
yeah,
the first
I,
two
I watched
nights.
The first one. Especially just because I knew at the very beginning there'd be, I mean, I don't want to watch a train wreck, but I knew it was going to be very emotional for a lot of people. And mm-hmm. when they're demanding the roll call and everybody's standing up and that kind of a thing, and Bernie kind of losing control of his people a little bit. Not that he was going to have much control over them anyway. He has to do what he's doing.
Well, and his candidacy is in itself disrupting, right? So why wouldn't your people who feel, believe so strongly, they would also be disruptive? It makes sense. Like, you know, pulling somebody so far in a direction of, you know, radical change has to happen. Mm-hmm. They're going to continue on that path. So it makes sense to want to, you know, still yell and be heard. And I think that makes complete sense. What did you think of his speech in addressing, you know, how much they've, you know, succeeded in pushing the conversation to the left?
I mean, I think it's all going to depend on how far, like, Hillary takes. I mean, God willing that she takes the office, that how far they actually take those issues. You know what I mean? I mean, it could be a bunch of talk that was fun for a campaign, and then she goes back super moderate, just a continuation of the easiest things Obama did, which is not necessarily bad, but does she go anywhere near as radical? Obviously not as much as
no,
she would have if
he
wasn't there, but I have my doubts about whether anyone that supported Bernie radically for all those specific crazy points, not crazy, but you know what I mean? I doubt anyone's going to sit back and go, I am very satisfied with the first 100 days.
Oh, whatever she accomplishes or whatever whoever is in office accomplishes.
Yeah, I don't think either
one. Well, I think even with Bernie Sanders, how quickly do you think he would have accomplished any of his goals?
Oh, man, not at all. But
so
the
no
whole
one...
world would have been talking about it all the time, and everybody would have had to face these issues. And instead of being completely disenfranchised with the system on both sides, and you have so many people that even if you're going to vote for Clinton, you're not out there hustling and campaigning for Clinton anymore because you're just so upset with both sides, and you're almost voting the lesser of two evils in a presidential candidacy. I mean, that's sad. That's a sad,
well,
scary place to be.
I wonder if anyone has changed at all. If there is room for, you know, convincing somebody during a convention, whether last week or this week. And that's one of the questions we have for our listeners. 312-981-7200. I am trying to find that one person that hadn't made their mind up
yeah.
yet and is watching both conventions. 312-981-7200. You can call or text.
I think your numbers always bump after your convention. Or after the RNC convention, you saw Trump bump like 7 points above
right.
Hillary in most polls. And like that's like, for anyone who supports Hillary, terribly frightening.
Yeah.
But I think Hillary's numbers will do the same thing after Obama came out and said she's the best ever
ever.
Which is an opinion for sure.
Well, and there were a lot of things from Donald Trump's speech that were addressed in various speeches tonight. Tonight, Vice President nominee Tim Kaine spoke. Joe Biden had a speech that I think really roused the crowd. Obviously, President Obama had a speech that was also partly a goodbye letter to the, you know, to the Democrats, thanking them, but also, you know, wanting to pass the torch along to protect the accomplishments or continue on the path of wanting to achieve more. There's so much more to be done.
And so much of what he did was only half done because of how the House blocked him and the Senate blocked him over and over and over and over again. And I think he does. I think you're exactly right. I think he wants Hillary.
Hold on one second. Hold on one second. I said, so far we're, so 1 out of 3 so far, you guys. It was 8-1 at Wrigley.
For what?
For the, are you wearing a Sox shirt?
It was a present.
It was a present. Who walks around? Oh, that's all right. I can hear them. All right.
Yes. Hey, look at that. Yeah, it was a present.
Oh, so you're not a Sox fan? You just got it as a present?
I'm a Sox fan. Sox.
We're from Florida.
Oh, you are? Welcome to Chicago. Are you enjoying yourselves?
Yeah.
Yes. What's your favorite thing so far?
Shopping.
How about you guys? Well, did you buy him the Sox jersey?
He bought me clothes.
You did? You're a good man. And someone bought you a very nice Sox jersey. Well done, guys. What brings you to Chicago?
Lala, and I got family here, so it's really nice to be back.
All right, well, have fun. Enjoy yourselves.
Thank you.
I'm here for a bachelorette party.
Damn, for bachelorette parties.
Are you celebrating on a Wednesday for a bachelorette party, or is it a whole
week?
All week?
All
what are your plans on Friday or Saturday night? Okay, there's a great music, comedy, and drinking show called Vamp.
I like it.
That you guys have to go see Friday or Saturday night at 10:30. Go
BYOB.
To
BYOB.
Yes.
Do you have a ticket?
Do I have a ticket?
All you got to do is hop on Twitter at vamp_Chicago or go to vampchicago.com. There's like 3 different ways to win tickets.
Yes.
And if you got student IDs, it's cheaper, and you can bring whatever you want to drink.
There you go.
It's right off the Belmont Red Line.
All right.
There you go. Have fun, everybody. Yeah. Be safe. Thank you. More after this on 720 WGN. We are going to hear a little bit of President Obama's speech, and we will hear from Leader Liu Lang, who is in Philly. Let me turn that. There you go. More after this on 720. I'm like, so many buttons.
And then there's Donald Trump. Don't boo. Vote. Yeah, The Donald is not really a plans guy. He's not really a facts guy either. He calls himself a business guy, which is true, but I have to say I know plenty of businessmen and women who've achieved remarkable success without leaving a trail of lawsuits and unpaid workers and people feeling like they got cheated. Does anyone really believe that a guy who spent his 70 years on this earth showing no regard for working people is suddenly going to be your champion, your voice? Hey, if so, you should vote for him. But if you're someone who's truly concerned about paying your bills, if you're really concerned about pocketbook issues and seeing the economy grow and creating more opportunity for everybody, then the choice isn't even close. If you want someone with a lifelong track record of fighting for higher wages and better benefits and a fairer tax code and a bigger voice for workers and stronger regulations on Wall Street, then you should vote for Hillary Clinton.
That's President Obama tonight at the DNC, and we're getting your thoughts and your comments. We have some people on the street who are nodding their heads about some of that speech. How you folks doing?
Good.
Are you watching any of the convention or kind of catching it like online and stuff on social media?
I watched everything last night.
You did?
I have not seen anything tonight.
Did you record it?
I recorded it at home.
Okay. So I didn't. I hope I didn't spoil it for you then by playing that minute and a half.
No, not at all.
I feel badly about that.
I'm delighted.
Oh, well, I think that are you a political junkie? Do you like to watch conventions?
Yes.
Yeah. I like pointing at her. It is. What did you think last week of the Republican National Convention?
You know, some of it was very exciting.
It is.
Yeah.
He's a great showman.
Oh, absolutely. Like any great, like uh, like
this is what happens when I feel bad that I stopped you on the street. Yeah.
But like a circus performer.
Oh, there you go. There you go. And I will say this, that the Democrats have wheeled out a lot of celebrities. So they have a lot of the shine and glitz as well. Mike, you said you've been watching. Did you watch both conventions, the Republican and the Democrat?
Yes, I did.
And so last week when you were watching it, what were you struck by the most from the Republican side?
That it was kind of all gloom and doom. And I think I called you last week and you said to call back.
So thank you. Oh, that's right. You said you were watching both. Okay, so you touch base with us on that. And then so now this week you are watching the Democrats. And how's it going?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I really to answer your initial question, like, yeah. Did your mind change on anything? Well, my mind, I don't think there's anything anybody could say for me to vote for Donald Trump. I needed some convincing in order to, I guess, to vote for Hillary because, I'm 32. Basically, I've voted against her twice, both for Barack and the second for Bernie. So basically coming into this convention, especially how, with the emails and all that stuff, how it was revealed over the weekend, I needed some convincing just to at the very least to be like, can I get on board, hold my nose and vote for her?
And possibly feel good about your vote, or is that too lofty of a goal?
I'm going to have to say I'm going to, I don't know if I'll feel good about it. Maybe I'll feel good because I did my civic duty. How's that?
Gotcha. No, and that, I think that's important. That was something that President Obama said, was don't boo, vote. And that does go for everybody. Obviously, he has a purpose in mind, but for everybody else. Anyway, I'm glad that you watched both. So you said last week was doom and gloom. What has struck you about this week's convention?
Well, I have to wait for tomorrow to hear what Hillary actually says, but I'm hoping, at least the speakers that I've seen so far, at least there's been at least not only, praising Hillary, going over her track record and her resume, but also, this is our platform. This is how we are, starkly different from the Republican Party and Donald Trump specifically, without it being as, mean as they were last week.
Right.
To me, just the tone was complete. They're both saying different things, and they're all having their attacks and their lines here and there, but there was just a different tone last week compared to this week, to where they're saying the same things, attacking the opponent. But this one, it's a little bit naive on my part, but it seems like it's a little bit, easier to hear from the Democrats as opposed from the mean-spiritedness from my side.
I think that's a significant difference. And the other thing I noticed tonight was there seemed to be more conversation, more, directing attention toward what it will mean for our national security, to elect Hillary versus Donald Trump. And I think one of the things that was said was, at the very worst, Donald Trump is somebody who will threaten our national security. And did that strike you a little bit more tonight than they had in the last two nights, talking about how Hillary will make this country safer?
Right. Not just so much it making it safer with Leon Panetta, because I listen because I'm at work. So I listen to most of it all, over the radio. So I appreciate Leon Panetta, his remarks and even Bloomberg, where it basically is like, hey, you might not agree with her all the time, but if you're like me, kind of somewhat an independent, there's a stark difference. And he did a good job of at least painting the difference between her and Donald Trump. So, I enjoyed most of the speakers. The only one I didn't really like was Tim Kaine, but, to me, he sounded like...
I was kind of, yes, I think there was, because one, he had to follow Joe Biden, which Joe Biden was, I thought, particularly interesting in his delivery. And when he says malarkey and the crowd goes crazy.
Yeah, he's that lovable character for sure.
He is, but he was very ardent in the things that he was saying and very passionate about it. And I thought that was an excellent speech from Joe Biden as well.
I'm with Mike on the Tim Kaine or the Kaine thing, though, because he's from Virginia. In his past, he's got a track record of being a lot more Republican on some social issues. Mm-hmm. And now we're cool. And I think there could have been a better candidate. But I don't think it matters. You got to go lesser of two evils.
for the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Well, thank you so much, Mike. Keep in touch with us and let us know throughout the rest of the campaign season what your thoughts are. Was there anything else you wanted to share with us? I didn't want to cut you off.
All right, thanks, Patty.
Thank you, Mike. Have a great night. We have Greg on the line. Hey, Greg, are you watching both conventions?
Yeah, I ended up just turning off the last one a few minutes ago.
And compared to last week, well, first of all, what did you think of the Republican National Convention last week?
Well, there's a Rolling Stones song called Doom and Gloom.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had that sound beat throughout most of the presentation. I'm not really a Republican, but I try to view myself as being independent.
Okay.
And I want to choose the best candidate that I feel would do the best job for me and my constituents in the area. And I just didn't really hear a lot outside of what they were going to do. There was no depth or complexity to the plans. You know, I were to make America great the day after I am elected into office. But I can't tell you exactly how I'm going to do that just yet. But
right.
Maybe,
but so fast. But he's going to do it so fast.
Right. Which is so amazing, you know. It's just like, I'm so impressed.
Yeah.
And then tonight, you know, I thought it was a very comprehensive, well-rounded, from many different voices, recognizing, like, the elephant in the room that she doesn't have a perfect record. But who, after 40 years of any of us, you know, private citizens, whomever, for 40 years being under the microscope, who of us would have a perfect record? But
I think Brandon C. Price had an answer for that. He believes that somebody might have a perfect record.
I mean, it's
what is his voting record like in comparison as a senator to Hillary Clinton's?
I think the only thing that everybody would jump on, but like outside of that, is he's pretty pro-gun.
But
right. He's always, I don't think he's ever, I mean, look it up. You know, I don't know the numbers, but I don't think he's ever flopped on anything.
I don't know about flopping, but I think in the bills that he has worked on, I think that there is. I mean, but that's a different thing, right? That's their voting records,
right?
And the bills that they've done. We're talking about global issues and national security.
Just general public opinion of trustworthiness.
Yeah. Well, Greg, I want to thank you so much for joining the conversation. We look forward to hearing from you again.
And this real, real interesting point.
Yes.
Also happen to be a principal of the school, and last spring we did kind of like a very, very informal, political race in the building, and by a landslide, you know, we're talking about 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students, by a landslide, Hillary was up like about 75-80%, and then I think it was Rubio. Trump registered pretty low. Now, that may have changed over the summer, but it'll be interesting to see how, you know, the kids perceive what they're perceiving, what they're listening to, and how they think it's going to affect them. But many of my students are second language students, and then they hear some of the vitriol coming from the Trump campaign. And those conversations that they talk about on TV are indeed happening in real life, happening in their school, and kids wondering what's going to happen to their families. And it's not just, you know, a Hollywood story. It's really happening. So
right.
You can see how it affects them. And I just, so that said, I just, you know, I kind of like Bloomberg actually a little bit tonight.
Yeah, that was
good.
Yeah, there's some interesting. And the daughter of the principal at Sandy Hook was an emotional and I think a great point that she made about, you know, wanting to work with Hillary and has worked with Hillary on figuring out a way to combat gun violence. I want to thank you again, Greg. Have a great night. More after this on 7. Are we going straight to news? Did you say there's a break? There's a break right here on 720 WGN.
I'm here for those lives cut short in a school, in a movie theater, in a church, at work, in their neighborhoods or homes, because those voices should never be silenced. I'm here alone without my mother. Well, too many politicians cower behind the gun lobby instead of standing with American families. We don't need another Charleston or San Bernardino or Dallas or countless other acts of everyday gun violence that don't make the headlines. We don't need our teachers and principals going to work in fear. What we need is another mother who's willing to do what's right.
You're listening Pretty Late, and that is Erica Smigleski, who is the daughter of slain Sandy Hook Elementary School principal Dawn Hochsprung. And on the line with us is Leader Lou Lang, who is at the convention. I thought that was a really moving moment tonight, Leader Lou. What did you think?
That lady was incredibly powerful, and as noisy as the convention hall can be, it was pretty quiet while she was talking. She had a story to tell, a terrible tragedy, but she made a lot of sense, and it made people even more resolute about the fact that we must do something about gun violence in this country.
Well, last week during the Republican National Convention, there was a lot of talk about law and order, a lot of dark and gloomy conversations. Tonight, to me, seemed to be the first time the Democrats have talked more about the instability and some of the violence that's going on around the country. Was that a little bit more in that direction, would you say, from all the speeches?
I think that's true. I think there was a little bit of that in just about every speech about unrest in America and about our responsibility to do something about it. But you heard the president in his speech talk about how no problem is insurmountable if people are willing to sit down and have reasonable conversations about those problems. We can solve problems in America. Even in Springfield, as tough a time as we've had, when the governor, who has not often wanted to sit and talk with us about the budget, when he's chosen to do it, we've been able to get some things done. Same thing applies in Washington.
Do you think when the Democrats reference the gun violence, I mean, because the Republicans are using it so much as that doom and gloom, as that your safety's in danger and we've got your back and we'll handle it, do you think when the Democrats talk about it, it plays to that fear and almost hurts them? Or are they looking better because they're dealing it with in a less scary way, I guess?
People in America should not be made afraid to walk out the door. And so they read in the paper about terrorism abroad and worry about it coming to this country, as it apparently has on occasion, certainly on 9/11. And then they're worried about, in essence, domestic terrorism. People with guns wantonly running around doing whatever they want to do. You didn't hear a word tonight about somebody saying we want to take people's guns away or violate their Second Amendment rights.
But
talking about making America a safer place.
But Leader Lou, Donald Trump said last week that Hillary Clinton is gonna do away with the Second Amendment. That has to be true.
Yeah, well, I believe him.
You heard a lot of people talking tonight about Donald Trump's history regarding his ability to tell the truth, and he's not a truth teller, never has been a truth teller. In fact, all these pundits out there that have truthometers and that they study people's comments for truth, they find him in a very low level for telling the truth. And oftentimes, he's not trying to lie. Oftentimes, he makes it up as he goes along. He has no idea what the real truth is about most of the things he's talking about.
Well, you don't have to know if you just make it up. It's easier to do that.
He keeps everybody off their, off balance. And I think it's like the Russian thing today with the emails. It's no one knows how to be mad at him because he makes you mad in every different way.
Yes, it's hard to lock it down.
The whole notion of the difference between the Republican convention last week and the Democratic convention this week was about a completely different view of America. You heard the president talk about hope. It's something I talked about with you last night. I don't think the president stole it from me. It's something he's been talking about for a long time. Americans are hopeful people. They don't need to be scared. They need to express themselves and to tell people in public life what it is we can do to make their lives better. And, when they do that, we often do make their lives better.
But, when you look at the numbers and when you look at the fact that it's almost split and there are a lot of people supporting Trump and there are a lot of people buying into the fear, does that mean we've lost some of that hope? Because I couldn't agree more. I feel like that the American dream, nostalgic as it might be in some cases, is absolutely hopeful growth. Like, let's do this. But 50% of people clearly think, no, everything's in danger and we got to have somebody who's ironclad to stop all this nonsense. I mean, that kind of scares me. Does it scare you?
It does a little, but I have a greater level of belief that the American people will work their way through this. I believe the American people will understand the differences between these two candidates. Hillary Clinton is a proven
change maker. That was a term they used yesterday, but it's true. She's got a record of accomplishment. Donald Trump has a record of deceit, a record of leaving problems in his wake when he opens businesses and hires people and doesn't pay his bills and files bankruptcy, leaving his employees and creditors holding the bag. It's not just one time, it's many, many, many times, and that's how he's made his fortune. We cannot have someone running the United States of America who feels that way about people he works with, people who work for him. If he treats America the way he treated his employees, we're in for a big trouble. And well, so I think people are going to see through that over the next few months.
One of the things that was mentioned in Barack Obama's speech, President Obama's speech, that Brandon and I talked about before the show, is he said there's never been anyone as qualified as Hillary Clinton to run for this office. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I have some ideas about what that means. But what does that mean to you?
Well, just on the surface, it's a true statement. She's been First Lady. She's been Secretary of State. She's been a United States Senator. She's been a mom. She's been a community activist. She's been a lawyer who has worked on the rights of people that are being downtrodden by government, by business. This is a person with a vast background. And as Secretary of State, she's learned how to deal with foreign powers, learned how to talk to them, negotiated tough treaties. Donald Trump has done none of those things, not even one of those things. And so there's a stark difference between these two people running for president.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Leader Liu Lang, for joining us. And I look forward when you're in town so we can have you in studio. I've got Representative Batnick on the other line because I wanted to hear a little bit from the Republican side of the aisle. And I hope that you're having a great time and safe travels.
Thank you very much, and I'm sure Representative Batnick will tell you exactly what I told you.
Oh, yeah.
He reviews it for you.
I'm sure he will. You be well, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much, sir.
Good night.
You as well. We have Representative Batnick on the line. Hello, Representative Batnick. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. Thanks for having me on.
I realize I should have done this last week, and I apologize to our listeners. It struck me today. I was like, I need to hear from both sides of the aisle on this on the conventions. So let's start with last week. How did you feel about the convention in Cleveland?
Convention in Cleveland. Well, you know, it obviously was chaotic, and I think I have to get used to kind of a new norm in America. I didn't, until the last day, I didn't think it would come off as successful as it did in terms of a bounce for Trump. However, I will say that the last day when Trump spoke, I watched the whole speech, and I was getting texts and comments from people calling me that we're kind of on the fence, or we're more moderate people. And I was getting, you know, most people were saying, man, I really like the speech, He turned me on, yada, yada. And then I watched CNN afterwards, and they were just panning the speech, saying it was horrible. But then the poll came out, and the immediate poll was a big jump. I think the big disconnect, I kind of saw something similar today, everybody kind of fawning all over the convention today, and while I think there were some, while I think it was another very good speech given by the president, as he often does, that there's going to be a pretty big disconnect in terms of the balance, because I just don't think there's two problems. I don't think it's in touch with reality of the way people are feeling. We don't feel like America's, you know, everybody, 70% of us think America's on the wrong track. And then I think probably the worst thing for Hillary is, Obama can do a better job of selling hamburger than Hillary can doing steak. And
as an orator, I think, yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, President Obama, President Clinton, two great speakers. And I, you know, there's an urgency to Hillary Clinton's, you know, speech delivery technique that comes across as a little strident for people.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. So I'm not sure how you would want to use Obama, but it's kind of like that. You got this person that you love. You want him to be president. He gets you in that crew, and he's saying, "But it's not me. It's going to be Hillary." So I don't know how he's going to use during the campaign, because I think people may believe in him, but not necessarily. Especially in this environment where you have an environment where people aren't happy with the direction of things.
Right.
So I don't know how she's going to have to do a good job of selling in an uneasy circumstance. So it's going to be threading the needle a little bit more than I think people realize. I mean, as you know, I've told you, and other people don't know this, I was a Marco Rubio delegate. I was not a Trump supporter. So you know, the last 2 weeks haven't exactly been thrilling for me.
It's hard to watch,
but I got to tell you, I just think Trump is connecting with the average Joe more than people realize. And I think there's an undercurrent that people just don't, that the pundits and the people that do this really can't understand. And the last thing I'm going to say, these email scandals, they're not good. And the more Hillary perpetuates it, even with the Trump-Russian comments today, it's a plus for Trump and a big negative for Hillary. And I think that's going to be a big cloud over the convention.
Well, I thank you for your time. One last question before I let you go. This is just from a listener, and I don't know if you happen to know the answer, but a listener from the 331 is wondering if we know how it's decided which convention goes first, because Republicans traditionally...
I do.
Oh, you do?
I didn't know that.
This is exciting.
The president's party always gets to go last.
Oh, so it's like the home team.
Correct.
The home team gets a bat last.
that's how they figure it out. So
will the DNC see the same kind of bump in the polls that we saw with Trump last week? Is it just because there's a convention and everyone's focused on it, or do you think that it won't be as much of a difference as the poll right after the RNC convention?
I don't think there's going to be. We'll see if I'm right. You can have me back on and scold me if I'm wrong. I don't think there's going to be as big of a bounce, and it isn't so much because of the convention. I think Trump has done a lot to steal the thunder. Plus, you have the situation, the email leaks.
Right.
You know, you kind of Trump stole the thunder today a little bit, but this is horrible for the DNC. The fact they worked so hard to tilt the election for Hillary instead of letting the race be won fair and square is in the end going to really turn a lot of people off. And it plays into Trump's message that the elites are, you know, pulling the wool over your eyes. And that's why he relates to the everyday guy.
Right.
You know, it's because he's like, these pundits, these experts, they know it all, but look, when you find out behind the scenes, they're really not being fair. So I think that's going to diminish any DNC bounce back.
Well, we will have you on whether you're right or wrong again, because you're wonderful to talk to and you have great insight. So, again, you're in the 97th District. Is that correct? I want to make sure I get people the right.
97th District, Oswego, Naperville, Plainfield, Sherwood.
That's Representative Batnick, and you should stop by and see him in his office or give him a call, email if you have any concerns or compliments. I'm sure he wants to hear from you.
Sounds great. Appreciate having me.
Oh, thank you so much. We're going to hear from Representative Martwick when we come back on 720 WGN. Chris, hold on the line. We'll get to you, too.
That's not Donald Trump's story. Just listen to me a second without booing or cheering. I mean this sincerely. We should really think about this. His cynicism is unbounded. His lack of empathy and compassion can be summed up in the phrase I suspect he's most proud of having made famous. You're fired. I mean, really, I'm not joking. Think about that. Think about that. Think about everything you learned as a child, no matter where you were raised. How can there be pleasure in saying you're fired?
That's Joe Biden, Vice President Joe Biden, speaking in Philly at the Democratic National Convention. I thought Representative Martwick was there, but no, he got on his motorcycle and hightailed it back to Chicago. How are you doing, Representative Martwick?
Good. How are you, Patty?
I'm very well. Why did you leave? Did you have work to do?
Work to do, and as I took the I'm not a delegate, so I had no official responsibilities there. I went out to enjoy the convention and see some of the speeches, but so without any official responsibilities, I saw the weather starting to turn, and I thought, I'll head home before I get stranded there. So
we only have a couple minutes, and so I think we'll go with what Joe Biden just said, is somebody who lacks empathy, is the way he described Donald Trump. How can you take pleasure in the words, you're fired, which I mean, I'm sure people will say, oh, that's a reality show. But how do you take that sentiment and what Joe Biden said?
Well, I mean, you know, it's not just what Joe Biden said. It's so many of the speeches that have gone on, and not just at the Democratic convention, some of the words that Donald Trump has said. I mean, his lack of understanding for the challenges of the immigrant community. And I mean, it just shows you that he does not. I mean, it clearly the man lacks some empathy. I think Joe Biden's right. So, you know, it's such a stark contrast what I see at the Democratic convention, what I saw at the Republican convention. And I guess that's a good thing, because I think this is going to be one of those seminal elections when people really have to decide which direction our country is going to go.
And a lot of people are saying it's really come down to voting for the lesser of two evils. What do you say to that sentiment?
Well, you know, I'm fascinated, and I was talking to some people the other day, and I really think that the challenge for Hillary, what she needs to do is she needs to convey the story that, and then I said this before he gave the speech, but the President Bill Clinton gave about who she is and where she's been in her life. And to think that that's the lesser of two evils, when you talk about a person who has done nothing but self-serve and self-aggrandize himself, and you look at the career path that Hillary's had, I just think most people don't know all of the good works that she did at pure sacrifice, never expecting anything out of it. And that's, to me, that's very inspiring. And I hope that she can get that message across, because the thing that I find is that people love to hate her, but they don't know why.
Well, they would say, I know, Brandon, go ahead, Brandon. We have just a few seconds here.
No, I just think there's so much publicity. It's like all news is negative. They're just covering all these emails. They're covering Benghazi. They're not, no one's talking about the good stuff, because the good stuff doesn't get as much press.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. Well, Representative Martwick, it was so close. We had so many things. By the way, blame Leader Lou, because he was late. So I'm sure that you know, you can go right up to him and say, hey.
Has delayed me, Patty.
Yes.
So he's going to owe me some hours of sleep somewhere along the line.
Oh, I like the idea of that. I hope I can get that from somebody, too. Have a great night, Representative Martwick of the 19th
you
District.
Too.
Thank you. More after this on 720 WGN.
Trust Hillary Clinton with our son's life. Now, you know who I don't trust? I wonder. Donald Trump. Donald Trump. Trump is a guy who promises a lot, but you might have noticed he's got a way of saying the same two words every time he makes his biggest, hugest promises. Believe me. It's going to be great. Believe me.
That's Vice President nominee Tim Kaine at the convention tonight. And I stopped there because I was like, it was hard for me to find a segment. Andrea Darlis, who is in Philly, by the way, that was seemed like the lowest energy speech. Would you say that that's true?
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Patty. But there was something, you know, Tim Kaine is kind of like the dorky, funny guy. You know, he's very business as usual. He's, you know, he's got all the qualifications. He was a mayor, a senator, a governor. He has, you know, what it takes. But he just is kind of has that dry wit. And when he kept saying, believe me, it was kind of funny. I said, I think I tweeted this earlier. I said, there's something kind of funny about Tim Kaine's Trump impersonation. But, yeah, it was by far. I mean, when you're competing with Biden, who is a great speaker, and President Obama, yeah, you know, you're probably going to come in third place in that race. But yeah, he was dry. Didn't you find him just so humble though?
Oh, and the video package of him was really sweet. And a lot of people were tweeting out, "Hey, Tim Kaine used to be a hottie."
Yeah, I know. It was funny.
His story's really cool too. The whole, like, you know, his wife's father being, what was the mayor, the governor? She's lived in the governor's house twice. He's the governor, right, of Virginia? Is that correct?
Yes. Well, yeah. Was. He's a senator now.
Well,
right. It's just so cool that family's been in there the whole time, and I think that plays really well. Did we love Biden as much as we do now 8 years ago? You know what I mean? I wonder if Kaine has a chance, if he wins, to win our hearts.
Did you guys get to see the video packages, the video montages, before the speeches, like the Joe Biden one? Everyone was in tears. President Obama's was unbelievable. But the Joe Biden one, you know, people were saying the same thing about, oh, look, he had hair. Oh, he had dark hair. You know, and he really, his whole life has been public service. And it was the same kind of thing, you know, just real heartfelt and sentimental. And I even went, oh, yeah, he did push forth, you know, the domestic violence anti-domestic violence legislation. Oh yeah, he did crusade for, you know, whatever the cause was. I mean, he really has done a lot.
It was remarkable to watch. The whole night I was like, oh, I didn't know that. I felt like that was my night. I didn't think of that.
What have you done for me lately?
Oh, there it is. What has been the, because you've been at both conventions and the energy is obviously different. What strikes you the most this week being in Philly?
Patty, I have to be honest with you. When I got to Philly today, it was like a party. And I know we were coming off such an empowering night from last night. You know, it was really just a night for women and empowering women. When I was in Cleveland, it was a very businessy kind of a mood. And most of the people I interviewed, the Trump delegates, were like, oh, yeah, he's our guy. We're going to get behind him. Kind of the shoulder shrug. Here, I am telling you, it's literally every street corner, there's some sort of a party or there's a gathering. I saw a man in the elevator of my hotel today. And I found out he was an Ecuadorian journalist, so a journalist from Ecuador, and he's wearing this Black Lives Matter button and a Hillary button. And he asked me, he said, hey, do you know, he had an accent. He said, do you know where that delicious ice cream place is in Philadelphia? And I said, oh, no, I don't. I wish I did. I said, so you're not from here either, are you? And he said, no, I'm from Ecuador. And I said, oh, do you support the Black Lives Matter movement? I see your pin and your button. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I completely support it. He said, plus, I love the pin. You know, he loved the look of the butt. It was black, and it had that 3D look to it. And but it was so cool. I really sense here, and I don't mean this to sound cliche, but just kind of a coming together. You know, everybody, with the exception of a few Bernie supporters who are just kind of screaming and yelling and trying to create a hoopla during the convention, I really do sense like a coming together of people here.
Well, I'm watching your video right now. There are people filling in the seats before the speeches began. And, you know, it looks like you're having a good time. Great videos, by the way. And those are on WGNradio.com. And everyone can go check that out. Yeah, it sounds, I mean, obviously there was chaos on Monday and Tuesday. Today, there's, you know, there's that push now, especially after President Obama spoke, that seemed like there was a lot of electricity in the room. How great was it? I'm sorry, I got all excited because I really liked the speech.
it was unbelievable. My goodness. I mean, President Obama, it was standing room only. You know, you go to a concert and there's a, you know, a cool song that everyone will stand for and then they'll sit down. Nobody sat. I mean, everybody stood during president. In fact, I was in kind of a box, like a sky, what would be a skybox at the arena.
Right.
And everybody was standing. So we all took turns kind of going to the front, taking our pictures and then going back. But it was just electrifying. I mean, it was, he got very emotional, President Obama. I think Joe Biden did too a little bit. So it was more of an emotional light. And last night I felt, like I said, was kind of more empowering toward women. Tonight I felt was kind of an emotional night.
Well, how much rest are you getting? Are you what's the day look like for you tomorrow?
Tomorrow I'll be up on the Cochrane show, so I'm an hour ahead, so I'll be up in a couple hours to be on Steve's show and kind of joining back and forth with him, and then I'm going to go to the Illinois delegation breakfast, which is at 7:30, and talk to Senator Durbin and Congressman Gutierrez will be joining us as well. So a busy day, and then of course Hillary's speech is tomorrow night.
Yes, it is. Do me a favor. When you talk to Dick Durbin, could you tell him he would make the governor's race really interesting per the Patty Vasquez show on WGN?
I'll immediately say, by the way, Patty says, yeah, I'll throw that in first.
He would make it an interesting race. That would be fun to watch and talk about. That's all I'm saying.
Certainly just would.
Let him know.
By the way, I have to tell you guys this. You'll get a kick out of this. So I was on the floor today, just maybe for about a half an hour when Jesse Jackson spoke by the Illinois delegation. And Wells Fargo, how it's set up here, is much different than Cleveland. Here you can move around a little easier. I don't know if it's just a bigger arena or just the way the setup is. But there's a podium there, and I don't know if you guys saw when Mike Madigan, our House Speaker in Illinois, was announcing that, you know, the delegate count for Hillary and Bernie. There's like a little podium there, and there's a landline phone that's attached to that. So I was standing next to it today, and the phone started to ring. So a security guard picked it up, and one of the millennials who was standing nearby, maybe a volunteer, maybe 17, 16 years old, I would say, kind of looked over and said, what's that?
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
I said, you're kidding. That's a phone.
Aw.
My sister asked me why we say hang up the phone the other day.
You hang up. No, you. Oh. So.
Just like because she's never hung one up.
Oh, my God. We're so old. We're all so very, very old.
She just hasn't hung one up.
And Andrea Darlis is in Philly. You can check out the videos and all of her postings on WGNRadio.com. She'll be up early with Steve Cochran, so let's let her get to bed. Go to bed right now. Go to sleep. 1, 2, 3, go.
All right.
1, 2, 3, go.
Good, Katie. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye. That's Andrea Darlis. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And we have Brandon Weatherby on the line, who has been waiting so patiently. And I'm sure doesn't like to have to wait. Hi, Brandon Weatherby. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you? I'm here in Philadelphia.
I didn't ask you this last night. Where are you staying in Philadelphia?
I am staying on a very nice friend's couch. I am lucky enough to do a show with Esmeralda called You Meet Them, Everybody. And I've been doing that show for many, many years, and I used to tour with the show. And a listener of the show that happened to live in Philadelphia a long time ago said, hey, please come to Philadelphia. This is about 5 years ago. So I did, and then he lets me stay on his couch because he's a very nice human being. And it's actually his 30th birthday tonight. So thank you, Carrie. And I'm sure that WGN goes all the way to Philadelphia.
We do.
So thank you, Carrie.
We definitely.
I really appreciate it.
Yes, Carrie, you rock, because I know last week you were at an Airbnb in Cleveland.
So honestly, Cleveland, kind of great. It's not that far from Chicago. It's a good six-hour drive. Great people, good food. There's stuff to do. There's deer on the road. I recommend Cleveland.
And in comparison to Philly, how's Philly?
Philly is great, but once again, this city does not need the convention. I've missed so many things today just trying to get from the convention center into the arena and back. It's just maybe the worst possible city to have something like this. I don't know if you know this. Philadelphia is pretty old, and their streets aren't meant for this. Their streets are meant for horses.
Mm-hmm. I feel that way about Boston.
Yeah, Boston's
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Too.
You're 100% right. Boston should never have a convention. Philly should never have a convention. I understand the symbolism. It's beautiful. But come on. Let's move on.
He wants it in a college town. That's what we were talking about last night. Or at least somewhere sure. that needs it, right?
Or New Orleans, because everyone loves New Orleans, and if you haven't been to New Orleans, you should go. It's fantastic, and it'll make you feel better about the world.
By the way, you haven't seen any bootleg Obama 16 shirts or buttons? I'm reading your Twitter now. I feel like I'm cheating.
Oh, my gosh. I'm assuming you heard the speech tonight, or at least part of it.
Yes, I heard the four or five speeches, yes.
Come on. This man, the biggest chant was 4 more years for a reason.
I did hear that one. I know.
The merchandise in Cleveland was incredibly sexist and racist. Incredibly sexist and racist.
Hold on, Brandon. You tilted your head a little bit.
Haven't seen it, and I'm curious as to what an example of that is. I believe you.
From the Republican convention?
Do you really want to talk about an 18-year-old sex scandal? Do you really want to just... okay, so here's my favorite one. It's on the Twitter feed and the Facebook feed that I have. It's at Stein YMTE. There's a photo of Donald Trump superimposed over the famous photo of Muhammad Ali over Sonny Liston. Muhammad Ali stood for everything that Donald Trump does not stand for.
Wow. Okay. That was one sentence that I needed to completely agree with you.
Mark DeCarlo's in the studio as well. He's a regular on Windy City Live and a regular here on WGN Radio. Were you going to go to the convention?
I was going to go, yes.
Why didn't you go? Did Brandon take your couch?
He did.
The couch that you were going to stay on?
Actually, I had one of those beanbag chairs, and he took that too. He's not mentioning it, but I know he has it.
Now,
yeah, that's right.
Okay, so you were there.
I miss all the hate.
You miss all the hate?
I've been listening to the Democratic convention. Where's the hate?
Yeah, it's gone. That was on nights 1 and 2. It's gone now, honestly. There's one white guy yelling about TPP. That probably doesn't know what that means. So that's it. Unless you're a white college-educated man that loves Bernie, it's not a lot of hate here.
No, I mean, I'm missing the Republican hate. There was so much more vitriol from Cleveland.
And there was. And you know what? That doesn't win elections. Look at 2004. The Democrats had a horrible message in 2004. Their whole message was not my president, not George W. Bush, not this war. What about pro-something? You need to be positive. We got to stay positive. If you want to win an election, you can't just be negative. And I think the Democrats have learned about that. And I think that the Republicans did learn about that, too. They knew it in 2008, and they definitely knew it in 2012. And this time, it's like Obama said, it's not really a Republican. It's not really a conservative. Trump is neither.
Oh, he's I can't even words. I just
Yeah, but Trump has
words.
Put forward so many good, specific policies.
The words to describe Donald Trump is Donald Trump. That's just
yes.
He is.
That's good.
Right.
Yeah, that works. Yeah. I think that works very
well. He is who he is. That's it. He's Popeye. He's the Popeye of politicians, which is great for cartoons, but not necessarily in reality.
And Popeye had a purpose.
Yeah, which he had a mission.
He would get fired up, he'd get strong, and he would right some wrong. I don't know that Trump really has.
Well, Bluto, was it Bluto that was his?
Bluto was his nemesis, yes.
So like China, Russia.
Although backstage, they were good friends.
They were chill.
Yeah, that was just on the set. Their characters didn't like each other.
Does it seem tonight that there was more conversation about our national security and more about the gun violence? Obviously, having the daughter of the principal from Sandy Hook speak was moving. And this was the first night it seemed like we talked a little bit more about the instability in the world. Was that your sense?
Yes, for sure. But there was also a sense of like, oh, yeah, stuff's actually gotten done in the last 8 years. And we shouldn't overlook that. Also, Tim Kaine is everyone's dad. Those were the two those were the two sentiments of the night. And those are fine sentiments, honestly. Whether you like President Obama or not, stuff has gotten done. You might not like the things that he has gotten done. But there's an actual record there. And unlike the GOP, unlike the RNC, wasn't a lot about what we've done or what we're going to accomplish other than broad strokes of being great, which is fun. It's honestly really fun, but I don't think that translates.
I don't either. I'm curious to see, and I've tried talking to people who, and of course you've been at the convention, so you're surrounded by the people who are there to win this election, right? So the
absolutely,
and,
yes.
And I, Andre Dellis was saying that in Cleveland, the sense was more like, oh well, this is the one we ended up with. Whereas
she's 100% right. She's 100% right. But. It's not like Hillary's firing up a lot of people either. I know I've talked about this before, but it's not covered enough. We all know these people. We've known these people for over 20 years apiece. Everyone's mind has been made up. So honestly, the Bernie people kind of helped. That maybe drew a lot of younger people to begrudgingly support Hillary Clinton. I mean, 80% of what he wanted to happen is now part of the Democratic ticket. That's not a bad thing. He's actually accomplished all of his goals. He's like a really, really good punk band that got signed to the major label, released one record, and then it's like, you know what? I'm going to go back to Epitaph. That's enough.
But does it last? Do you think Hillary, if she wins, carries like those things that she's been forced to talk about? Not that she didn't want to, but just exactly what you're referring to. Does that actually carry in to her presidency if it happens? Or do we kind of just, oh, we talked about it, now we won, and we'll do Obamacare still, and moderate, moderate, moderate?
How many House seats do the Dems win? How many?
Yeah, I think that's the key.
It's really not up to Hillary. It's really never up to the president.
Right.
I mean, I was at a fantastic forum the Washington Post hosted, and Nancy
Pelosi. That's a great movie, by the way.
What is a great movie?
Fantastic Four?
Is it really a great? Is that the adjective you wanted to use to describe multiple?
I was making air quotes.
Go ahead.
Once again, radio is an audio only format, sir. So.
Someone should have told me that.
I know. Go ahead, Brent.
If Obama had everything he ever wanted, yeah, things would have been different. If Bush had everything he wanted, things would have been different. But that's not how the system works. And Nancy Pelosi was talking about the difference between influence and power. Washington Post has this fantastic series called Women in Power. And if you don't understand the difference between influence and power, you're never going to understand this election. You're never going to understand politics in general, because influence is massive. Donald Trump has so much influence. But as of right now, he has no power when it comes to the electorate. He has no power when it comes to governing. There's a big difference in that.
Right. And that's the thing, is who does he work with if he does go to D.C.? Because he's not with the old guard of the Republican Party. He's all over the place when it comes to issues, whether it's reproductive rights or gun control. He's changed his mind several times even on that. Now he says what's going to appeal to the base and to the Republicans. But
It scares me more with the foreign policy, from my opinion. I mean, like social issues, you're absolutely right. You can get a Supreme Court justice in, and you'll probably get two in this presidency. And you need the House to do much more. But you're representing us to China, to Russia, to the European Union, to everybody. And that's where I get really afraid.
Yeah. Yeah, that is 100%.
Yep, what he said.
Sure. Once again, zero track record. Listen, I am a huge fan of Trump simply because there's no coded language. And that is a wonderful thing. And for better or worse, Trump, if you're an evangelical, I'm very sorry. This is not your year. This is not your era. That might be over. The culture wars are starting to be over. I mean, we're not talking about LGBTQ rights. Both sides of the aisle are on the same page about a lot of that stuff right now. That's kind of a great thing. So this whole thing is a joke, honestly. It's a wonderful, beautiful joke, but at the same time, like, this is the most qualified candidate of all time, and versus a man who I love only because he's related to wrestling. Like, come on, this is crazy.
What do you think about that? I've asked that to Leader Liu Lang earlier about the, you know, the notion that she is the most qualified candidate of anybody running for president ever.
Yeah, she was Secretary of State and she was a senator, and she voted for things that a lot of Republicans voted for, that a lot of Democrats hate, and she's a Democrat that most Republicans hate. Who else has this record? And no one. I mean, maybe FDR in his fourth term was more qualified, but other than that...
And it didn't end well.
Sure.
Right.
Listen, people die. It's sad. Everyone, not everyone, but most people liked FDR at the end of the day.
Right.
I'm not saying Hillary's going to be the next FDR, but just on paper, she's going to be the most qualified president that any of us are going to see in a lifetime, just on paper. Like, and it doesn't matter if you like her or not. That's almost...
I think it does matter if you like her or not, because I think the one negative thing you could say about the Obama presidency is that he was stymied at every turn by a very hostile Republican Congress. And the Republicans in Congress hate Hillary 100 times more than they hate Obama.
They've been building
it. And if they have the opportunity, they will stonewall everything she does and says. I think that vitriol is going to be almost impossible to overcome unless at least one of the chambers of Congress breaks Democratic.
Exactly. Going back to the previous point, how many seats do the Dems win? Mm-hmm. That's really what matters. I mean, the consensus here is, don't worry about Hillary. Hillary's got this. And everything I go to is about, hey, we should stop kind of worrying about the general. Let's focus on state stuff, because we're great on mayors. If you're a Democrat, we're great on mayors and we're great in the Fed. But when it comes to state stuff, we're really, really bad. Once again, state of Illinois is a good example of that.
Yeah, we get a little bit of a mess. And that,
it's not good. I mean, that translates throughout all 50 states. There's no way around these things. And it's very, very difficult to get your mind wrapped around that. The Republicans are fantastic on message, and the Democrats are not.
I think that's absolutely accurate. And you are excellent on message, and we look forward to talking to you tomorrow night. I got to figure that if you want to, it's going to be packed. So I don't want to be rude to you if we have to like shuffle things around, because we've got, I don't know who's going to be here yet. We might have President Preckwinkle on the air. I'm just saying.
Potential future bigwig in the Hillary administration.
I'm saying. She was sitting next to Bill the other night.
That's usually not a bad sign.
No, it seemed like a really good sign.
Unless you're sitting too close.
Pretty good sign.
Yeah. So we will talk to you tomorrow if you will talk to us. How's that?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Brandon Weatherby. Go to his Twitter. It's YMTE on Twitter and on Instagram. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. Before we go to the news, I know we're a couple minutes late, but I want to make sure Rich gets in here, because we're gonna move off. I know, off of the DNC. So I want to wrap it up with Rich, who has some thoughts on what we've been talking about. Hey, Rich, how are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. How are you doing? Hi, Patty.
Doing all right.
You know,
yes, go ahead.
I really didn't make up my mind on who I want to vote for. You know, because I never do until the last minute, I guess, but. You know, a lot of things Donald Trump was saying, you know, that kind of resonate with the average guy or gal. But, like, for me, I was thinking, what I want me as president, and I'm thinking, oh, hell no.
I have to look into your background and learn more about your experience. You don't know?
Yeah, I've just been in the Army for 25 years and drive a semi. What do I know?
Well, but I think you know a lot.
I'm sure you know more than Trump.
Yeah. But the thing is, you know, I got to thinking after listening to all the speeches tonight on the radio and stuff that, you know, Hillary stands in a pretty good spot, because Bill's going to be, quote, the first husband.
The first gentleman, I believe, is what they're going with.
Well, whatever. I thought husband sounded better. It'd be like Mrs. Yeah, anyway.
Well, it's like ladies and gentlemen. So first lady.
Right.
Gentlemen.
Right. Yeah, because the world at that time, everybody loved Bill.
Right.
You know, so when she goes to meet with a foreign dignitary or some foreign country, or whatever they want to call it, he's going to be in the background, you know, and can say, hey, you know,
he can hang back and have other conversations. I like the way you think, Rich.
Right. Like, he'd be the vice. he'd be like the vice president, you know?
Ooh, see? I like the way you think, Rich. I got to run to the news, but I appreciate your thoughts.
One real quick comment. I sent a text in earlier, that little sound bite you had of Joe Biden saying, don't cheer and don't boo till I'm done.
Yeah.
I thought you were playing a George Carlin clip. I mean, his delivery and stuff, it just, I thought, what are they playing George Carlin for?
He was on fire tonight. Yeah. I thought Joe Biden. I like the president's speech, but I thought VP Biden had a tremendous night.
Yes, he did.
Yes. Thank you, Rich. We'll talk to you again soon. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm hanging out with Brandon C. Price. He is the CEO and mastermind of Vamp, a music, comedy, and drinking show at MCL every Friday and Saturday night. 10:30 shows. Go to vampchicago.com for ticket information. Also joining me is Mark DiCarlo in studio, which is exciting.
It's good to be here in person.
It is. Isn't it weird? You feel weird at night being here in person?
I do. Although I love it because it's air conditioned in here. It's so sticky in the city of Chicago right now.
Well, this studio is a lot like Chicago weather. Wait a minute. It'll get muggy.
Is the studio going through the change?
It is going through the change. And also, Mark is performing at the Comedy Shrine.
Comedy Shrine, the beautiful Comedy Shrine in Aurora this Saturday night, 8 and 10.
I know what I'm doing on Saturday night now.
Yeah, come.
I'm going to come out. And Rich Lenkov should come with us. Right? Hey, Rich Lenkov, the more talented and spectacularly wonderful half of Legal Face Off with Jason Whiteside. How you doing, Rich?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm very well. It was funny. I heard you today on Bill and Wendy's show with Annabelle Laval, actually, but filling in for Bill. And I had no idea that John Hinckley Jr. was set to be released.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people. I think it came as a surprise to a lot of people that, he was up for release. I mean, he's been eligible a couple of different times. And on those occasions in the past, you know, the doctor, he's not quite ready. But, the judge this week ruled that he will be allowed to leave the psychiatric facility, the hospital he's been at for the last 35 years, and in about a week he'll be a free man.
And that's a full-time convalescent leave from the hospital where he was where he had been since 1981.
Yeah, I mean, everyone remembers that he successfully argued that he was not guilty by reason of insanity. That was really one of the most prominent, defendants to ever use that defense. One of the only successful times it's been used.
Is that true? Because it feels like it comes up a lot, but that's the most one of the few times.
I think a lot of people are following his lead and not quite getting it.
Oh, I actually, in traffic court, I beat a ticket that way.
Did you really? temporary insanity?
Temporary.
Just temporary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm better now. Great.
You know, in the years following his trial, and you know, it was used successfully in that trial. A jury found him not guilty by reason of insanity. But years after that, about 3 years after that, on the federal level and also a lot of states made the laws a lot tougher. It was a lot tougher to successfully, prove that you were not guilty. But it's really not used. It's attempted, but not used very successfully as it was back in the day.
For people, and this is so weird for me because I was little when John Hinckley Jr. attempted to assassinate the President of the United States, and he did so because he wanted to get the attention of Jodie Foster, had developed an obsession with her. I think it was from Taxi Driver. It had been going on that long, right? Because that came out in the early 70s. And, and if you haven't seen Taxi, now I have to do the whole thing with Taxi Driver, which is a violent movie as well.
It's a really intense movie. I just watched it again a couple weeks ago, and it's relentless.
Yeah, it is. And he developed this obsession, wanted to get her attention, had written her letters. Were there a lot of letters, do you remember, Rich? Or was it just specifically that he wanted to shoot the president and to get her attention? I can't remember.
I know there's the one letter that was maybe the most, prominent piece of evidence on that piece. That was found in this hotel where he, very explicitly talked about doing this attempted, shooting of the the attempted assassination of the president to impress her. I don't know if there was more, but there was one that was, a major piece of evidence at trial.
And this was such a bizarre situation, too, because then there's that moment of who is president. While President Reagan was unconscious, mm-hmm. does George H.W. Bush become the president? And that was that the chain of succession was debated, you know, whether or not he was, you know, capable, right. what would happen during and after. And also, you know, OK, so many things I'm sure changed after this attempt. It has to, you know, so much more with the Secret Service, even though you would think after John F. Kennedy's assassination, I'm sure they came a long way in between that. But when you get a letter, how much more seriously do they take it? Then, of course, Brady, who was...
But they had him guarded really well, if you remember that video.
He's up on the balcony surrounded, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, he was coming out of a building, getting into a car, and there were two guys in front. There was another... He was really well surrounded. And
but now there are snipers, more snipers on rooftops.
Yeah.
Hinckley hit like three other people.
And if you're
he?
Crazy enough to attempt to kill the president, can you ever get uncrazy enough to be let free?
I mean, he's not.
That's exactly what I was going to ask Rich next. Can you be uncrazy now, Rich? Is that what they do? Is it considered? And it sounds horrible, but at what point when you attempted to assassinate the president, are you considered healed over a certain amount of time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the key question. That was the key question with Hinckley, whether he has healed in a sufficient manner to warrant his release from the hospital. And, you know, the doctors have said, yes, he has. Shown that he no longer poses a danger to himself or to others. So that's why they are allowing him to be free and live full time outside of the hospital. But I mean, listen, I mean, a couple things about Hinckley in the last, you know, decade or so, he has lied on a couple of occasions about where he's been. At one time he was allowed to go out and go to the movies. Instead of going to the movies, he was at a bookstore. And at the bookstore, he was standing in front of a display of books about Reagan, which is like ultra creepy.
Just dying to get recognized.
Well, I guess you can't kill him again.
Reagan?
Right?
Well, but does he become a danger to anybody else, including
No, he
himself.
Actually already has a job.
Does he really?
Yeah, he's going to be stumping for Trump.
Oh, boy.
He's GPS tracked. He's not allowed to have any sort of social media. My question is, was this a private or a public hospital that he was in? Did tax dollars pay for the attempted assassinator of the president to get better for 35 years?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a prisoner. I mean, not in a prison, but he, you know, was sentenced to a hospital. So, yeah, taxpayers have paid for his time in this hospital for the last almost four decades.
That upsets me as a taxpayer.
Well, I mean,
right?
If someone's convicted, whether it's by reason of insanity or hospitalized because of that or imprisoned, we're paying for it either way.
Well, I totally agree that that's bad a lot of times. But, like, what's the bigger crime? You know what I mean? There's a couple other more heinous crimes I could think of that there's no need to list out. But, like, you shot the president, bro.
That literally is the definition of crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And to do it for a girl, that's a little cherry of crazy on top of a big, delicious sundae of crazy.
But you're inside a hospital locked up almost like a prison for 35 years, and that makes you better?
He didn't go to the electric chair. What if he was faking the crazy the whole time?
Rich, that's something I think that people always think. If someone claims that they're insane, it's because they don't want to be executed. They don't want to go to jail. They'd rather go to a mental institution.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, like I said earlier, the standards are very, very difficult now to prove that you're not guilty by reason of insanity. It's almost, you know, especially for a major, I mean, you're referencing a major crime, trying to assassinate the leader of the free world. The standards are much tougher now. So you don't see this defense successfully even, you know, raise anymore, let alone successful use the trial. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of people would try to escape liability, escape culpability by raising it, but it's just not something that juries are even allowed to consider anymore because of the laws, you know, mandating that you don't even get to argue that before a jury.
But I think, literally, by definition, if you try and kill the president, you're crazy.
I know. You've established this.
You've
established this already, Mark. You have to move on. You've locked into a sentiment that you can't let go of.
My uncle has a picture of Reagan over the mantle.
My dad loved Reagan.
Yeah, my Republican people, he was the last, to them, he was the second coming of Republicans, and we're all waiting for him to return.
Mm-hmm. This is a whole different conversation, you guys. Rich, can you hold on the line? Because I do want to talk about these young girls in Wisconsin and the Slender Man case.
Yes, definitely.
Appreciate that. Stand by. We're talking to Rich Lenkoff. He is the we just prefer him because, and not just because we know you, but we are absolutely with certitude we can say that you are the better half. Okay, maybe not certitude. That seemed a little lofty, but we know that we like you more than.
Can we say it's absolutely crazy if we don't like him the most?
It's absolutely crazy if we don't like him the most.
By definition.
On Legal Face Off, WGNplus.com. More with Rich Lenkoff when we come back on 720 WGN.
The Flashback Horror Convention is happening on August 5th, and over the next couple of weeks, I'll talk to some of the stars appearing. Tonight, we'll catch up with Rachel True of The Craft. Nick DiGilio, Overnights, 720 WGN.
Do you have silver or gold to sell? Call me, the Antique Lady. Now is the best time. Call the Antique Lady at 773-262-1000. For years, WGN listeners have been calling the Antique Lady to sell their antiques and art. Why go to the mall or send your family treasures through the mail? Call 773-262-1000 for a buyer you know and trust. Bring your sterling silver flatware, trays, teapots, and candlesticks to the Antique Lady. Old, broken, and unworn gold pieces sitting in the drawer can be turned into cash. Deal with a family-owned business that's been in the same location for over 30 years. At 6901 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago, you'll receive a fair price with no pressure to sell. Call 773-262-1000 today.
Placing, I love.
Democratic National Convention.
Hillary Clinton will make an outstanding president.
Never, ever miss a story. Today on 720 WGN.
Placing a loved one in a nursing home is one of life's most difficult decisions. You deserve only the best care for your loved one in return. Sadly, nursing home negligence is real and it's a serious problem. Neglect and abuse of the elderly happen every day. The law firm of Conasec and Dillon wants you to know that nursing home negligence can cause serious, life-threatening medical conditions like dehydration and malnutrition, fractures, infections, pressure sores, and even death. If you suspect a loved one is a victim of negligence or abuse in a nursing home, call Conasec and Dillon. The law firm of Conasec and Dillon will advise and help your family through the painful ordeal of injuries or death caused by nursing home negligence. Conasec and Dillon understands that entrusting a loved one to a nursing home is one of life's most difficult decisions. Protect your loved ones. Call Conasec and Dillon at 630-262-9655. Consultations are always free. Call Conasec and Dillon at 630-262-9655. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by Brandon C. Price and Mark DiCarlo. And on the line with us is Rich Lenkoff from Legal Face Off on WGNplus.com. And this story of these two girls that are in Wisconsin who stabbed one of their friends 19 times because they felt that it was a tribute to... remind me again what Slender Man is, Rich?
It's like an online game. You know, he's like a boogeyman meme that apparently, you know, tells people to do violent acts. You know, not something I'm totally involved in. That's probably why Jason Whiteside's not available tonight. He's probably Slendermanning it up somewhere.
Slendermanning it up. We will put that on his bio. He likes to Slenderman it up. These girls were 12 years old at the time of the 2014 attack, and I'm reading that they would not have received long-term mental health treatment if they were convicted in a juvenile court. So that was one of the reasons that the court ruled the decision was made to try them as adults?
Yeah, I mean, a Wisconsin judge initially found that, I mean, consistent with Wisconsin law, these girls should be tried as adults. Wisconsin, anyone who commits murder or attempted murder is automatically tried in adult court if they're over 10 years old. Defense attorneys could request a trial in juvenile court for if they're under 16, and that's what happened here. And the trial judge found that they should be tried as adults, and then they appealed that and just
Monday, the appellate court said that we agree with the trial judge. They should be tried as adults. And, yeah, I mean, the sentences are dramatically different, as you can imagine, if you're convicted as a juvenile versus an adult. Adults, in this case, they could face up to 45 years in prison versus about 3 years at a mental facility if they were convicted as juvenile.
And I heard you talking about this again on Bill and Wendy's show, and everyone was kind of talking a little bit about, again, if it's 10 years old is where they start trying them as adults, is 10 years old the age of reason? Is a child able to understand that they've done something this bad? And there was an argument a little bit about it that you should know, but I don't know. And we were talking in the last segment about the definition of crazy is shooting the president of the United States. Well, what is stabbing your friend 19 times because you believe this online mythology that you have to stab?
As people live more and more in their screens every day, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I think it's going to be more difficult for young people to truly differentiate between reality and what's going on in the digital world. They don't know.
That's a really good point. Rich, in addition to this case, are you seeing other things where people are wildly influenced by what's going on social media, whether it's violent behavior or financial? Obviously, there's a lot of cheating. You know, it seems to encourage, if not protect, people who want to try to, stray in their marriages. What are you seeing as a result?
I mean, listen, you see some of that. As a former prosecutor, I'll tell you that I think a lot of that is nonsense. I mean, just quite frankly, I think a lot of it is, just people trying to avoid responsibility by coming up with what often is just junk science. I mean, in this case, there was expert testimony alleging that one of the girls has schizophrenia and oppositional defiant disorder, and they needed long-term mental health treatment. The other girl was diagnosed with a delusional disorder, and they, their experts argued that this made them more vulnerable to believing in the Slender Man. On the other hand, I mean, the evidence showed that the crime was not accidental. It was planned out over the course of several months. So, it wasn't like they just snapped one day. They had lured this young girl into a park in Waukesha and attacked her 19 separate times. Mm. It's hard to believe that these girls, even though they were 12 at the time, didn't appreciate what they were doing when, again, the evidence shows that they plotted this out and planned it over the course of several months.
And if they were diagnosed with these disorders, had they shown symptoms before this attempt at murder?
I don't know. I don't know if they did in this case. I mean, if they were, those were legitimate disorders, then yeah, they usually manifest themselves over the course of time. But I don't know in this case, if they did. But usually that's the case.
So they'll be tried as adults. I can't wrap my arms around this story because it's terrifying. I mean, my son is 12 years old. I can't imagine that there are kids in his class who would be so drawn into this, online reality that they lose touch with reality.
Well, as real as it gets, it gets realer and realer, that line is going to be blurred. And it's going to be over. The VR stuff?
The Oculus Rift stuff, where you're actually tricking your brain into
so cool.
reality.
Have you done
the Matrix, man.
It is.
Singularity. Singularity, Rich. It's a trend of the future.
Well, here's the creepiest part. So I tweeted earlier that I'm going to be on Bill and Wendy and talking about John Hinckley, some other stuff, and Slender Man. So when I left the show and I was going back to my office, I got a like on my tweet, and I clicked on who the like was.
Oh, no.
And guess who the like was?
It was Slender Man.
It was at Slender Man who liked me. I mean, no, I'm not even kidding.
I know, it's creepy.
It was Slender Man who liked it, so...
I just got goosebumps.
Is the company in any way liable?
What, Slender Man?
Yeah, whoever, like Parsec or Productions or whoever it's put on. I'm on the website now and the pictures are creepy. Parsec Productions.
Oh,
are they in any way liable for this?
Rich?
I mean, listen, criminally liable, probably not. Would there be a civil lawsuit? I mean, as we've talked about, a bunch on this show, yeah, people sue anyone for everything all the time, but... probably wouldn't go anywhere. Who even knows what that, what that entity is or if it's real. But yeah, I mean, you know, if that gets bigger, then you would certainly, I'm sure, see people going after them civilly for some kind of damages.
I mean, it's like Marilyn Manson, however many years ago.
Right.
I mean, and what, yeah. Is there any culpability of the parents? If you've got a 12-year-old that goes out and kills somebody, that has to indict the parenting in the home.
Again, you know, criminally, not a lot of liability for the parents. Civilly, you know, you could see a civil lawsuit filed against the parents. But, you know, those are usually for much younger juveniles for this age. You don't usually see responsibility transferred to the parents, at least, you know, from a legal perspective.
Well, why not? Why wouldn't there be criminal liability? Let's say if the parents observed bizarre behavior and didn't report it or didn't do anything to stop it and sort of maybe thought kind of their right. kids were planning something evil but didn't do. I mean,
right.
At what point, what's the legal definition of accessory?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, tough case to prove. I mean, tough to prove that, you know, the parents willfully neglected this behavior. I mean, certainly, listen, if there's evidence that they tried to, you know, stab someone in the past, obviously that would be a factor. But short of that, it's hard to prove that parents are accessories to a crime because, again, the whole reason that they're being tried as adults is because the courts feel that even at 10 years old, they have the requisite willpower, requisite decision-making ability to act on their own. So certainly if they're going to be tried as adults, there's not a whole lot of liability for the parents. Now, if you're talking, you know, a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old, maybe it's different. But as you get older, the right. culpability of others lessens.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your insight on this legal topic, as well as all the other ones that you've always joined us on. Again, everyone can go to WGNplus.com to listen to the weekly podcast of Legal Face-Off with Rich Lenkoff and the other guy. I mean, it says Jason Whiteside on the website, but we call him the other guy. Have a great night, Rich.
Thanks so much, Patty. You too.
Thank you. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Offstage Showcase studio, learning how to push buttons. Thank you to Bob Ferguson, who sat down with me and taught me how to use what we call the hotkeys and this touch screen. So now, because I don't know music, I like music, I love music, but I don't know it. So this actually helps me learn artists and song titles. Brendan C. Price, who is well-versed in music. Actually, so is Mark DiCarlo, who's in studio. You're both musicians. Someday you have to jam together. I should have asked. I didn't know to.
I'd be honored.
Oh,
from
my
just
God.
The very little conversation you guys have had, you seem important. So I will hang out.
And you seem very gullible.
Esmeralda, Craig, you can tell him how wrong he is.
No.
You know, he's very important.
He is.
No, I'm kidding. You're very important. He hosted a series.
Hey, I buy and sell my friends one at a time, just like anybody else.
He hosted a series in the 90s called Studs on Fox. For 2 seasons? It should have been more.
580 shows. Man.
580 shows.
Episodes, yeah.
Get out of here.
I swear. Oh, and I'm doing a new TV show. I'm doing World's Funniest Videos. Second season. I'm doing a second season of that.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
World's Funniest Videos.
Not America's Funniest.
Who needs
this
that nonsense?
This covers the world.
The globe.
It's World's the same funniest, premise.
World's Funniest Videos Top 10. So every week we do the top 10 funniest times you tangled with animals, you messed with your kids. It's a pretty funny show.
Think how much easier that is. Not to say that it's easy, but then Bob Saget waiting on a VCR to come in the mail, and now you can just hop online and find all this gold and share it with the world.
Right, and everything looks so much better.
Yeah.
Occasionally, we'll get a clip from a really old show, and it looks like crap, but the iPhone stuff is broadcast quality, and it looks people are getting hip to it. But you know what, people? 16:9. When you're taking video with your phone, please.
Hey, explain what that means because we don't all know.
If you've been to a movie theater, you know that the screens are wider than they are tall.
So there's horizontal?
16, yeah, 16 units across, 9 units up and down. And that's how you should take video when you're taking video for online.
Never go vertical with your iPhone. Never.
Okay. I know you're correct, yes.
Haven't they changed it on Instagram too?
Because couldn't you do it before it had to be vertical?
Instagram you can smush now, for sure. So you can, but when that vertical stuff, like I've got, out of the million posts coming, I've got one vertical GIF, and it is just, it's embarrassing.
I like that you spelled it out. That was kind of nice. I said, GIF.
Unprofessional. Come on.
It's not right.
I,
in this day and age.
I take things in horizontal.
That's what I've heard.
Thank you. Well, you know, as you get older, the knees aren't what they used to be. Oh, but
girls got to make a living.
There's only so many walls you have in the house. So here's the thing. Smirla's like, by the way, as I told you, I sent you a message the other night about a story I shared
yes.
in the air.
Yes,
and
yes.
And he goes, yeah, Griffin wasn't listening to that one. So that was good.
Oh, well, then.
Yeah. So, but Steve was like, huh, really? Is that what happened at Northwestern? Good to know. And I also have to go back. So I may have shared a... Okay, I can't put these two stories together. So let me figure out... Let me do this one first, and then you...
Do a musical interlude.
Yes. Da-da-da-da. So I don't know what that was.
And we're back.
And we're back. Griffin is rather upset with me today. We were talking about the thermostat controller Nest that you can, you know, set an app on your phone. If you're gone, you can, you know, adjust it remotely.
The theater has that.
It's it, and it's very cool, but it went offline for many people across the country, not once,
whoa,
but twice this year. Once,
not cool.
Once during a very deep freeze. Not cool.
Took a minute, but it landed.
Well, that was the thing. It was during a heat wave as well. So it shuts down the air conditioning, or it shuts down the heat when you most need it. So we were talking about that, and do you want to have your everything on remote control, you know, your car, your thermostat? And I was wondering about doorknobs, because you can also do that with a phone. And I was saying that I was thinking about getting a keypad because Griffin, our door's warped. Our lock is not great. You have to kind of like, you have to know, you know, after years, I know to like kind of lift it up a little bit and sort of jiggle a little bit and then turn it. And I was saying that Griffin struggles with it. And he said, I could open that. And he said, I made it sound as though he could not open it to save his life. And I did not mean to imply.
Well, Patty, you have to understand that's what, when he has to go to school, all the other boys and girls are going to tease him for not knowing how to work a doorknob. That's what kids pick on these days.
I didn't mean to imply that. It is because it's not him. It's my fault for not replacing that deadbolt. So I'm sorry, Griffin. I told him, he goes, I could do it. If someone was chasing me to my house, I would be able to get in the door. I go, okay, so I'm going to test him. I said, I was going to stand behind him and just.
I'm going to chase you home.
I'm going to hire someone to chase you. You won't know them. You won't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. You better run.
I was going to say, when are you going to change it now? Because now you got,
now I kind of,
you said it on air.
But if they can hack into government emails and all this stuff, can't they just totally hack your house?
The Russians are coming to my house. The Russians are coming to my house.
You know what? Get yourself a dog. Dog chews people if they come in the house if they're not supposed to.
We have a Lassitee's.
A Lopsopso Maltese?
Yes.
Zing.
Da-da.
You could get a very large cat as well.
I have an ocelot that guards the house.
No, if you could, I have a friend, he's got a very angry cat that will just, he will wait on tables and things around corners.
Wait, you have a cat that's a waiter? How is that possible?
She did phrase it that way.
He's a very angry waiter.
He's a very angry.
2016, it's
do you want the soup or the salad, meow?
Fits in your food all the time. No, but he's reeling, and then my friend doesn't, his claws. He has very large claws.
Oh, he doesn't file them or snip them?
Yeah, he doesn't file them down. People are frightened to go in this guy's house.
I guess he wouldn't.
So, yeah, but if you're a burglar, you know, you lock the cat in the room and then you take the stuff.
No, this thing
cats,
will jump on you.
Cats poop and pee in sand, roll around in sand, and then get in your bed. I don't understand it at all. Mean or not.
Either. I think they're Satan's minions here on Earth.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I think that exact same thing. That's how he keeps his eyes on us.
Mm-hmm.
Greg had the cutest kitten, but he struggled with the kitten. The kitten was it was not a minion.
They grow.
It was really nice.
He was trying to learn social skills.
Right. It just scratched and bit me all the time, but it was a nice cat.
It's not really helping for their.
They're like the guys in The Sopranos. You might get cut a little bit and scratch a little bit. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. Eventually, I'll lay on my back and just lick myself all day long.
That's how you know they love you.
That's.
They only scratch the ones they love.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's why I have fish.
No, they're very loyal. The fish are very loyal. Mark Carmen. Why was I doing that? Mark DiCarlo. Sorry. I'm mixing up my marks.
Carmen Fanzone. Played second base for the Cubs. Also played trumpet.
See how I brought it back around to something that I have no
and
idea
And his number
about?
Was? His jersey number? Anybody? Carmen Fanzone?
Nope.
23. Michael Jordan. Wow. David Justice.
Ryan Sandberg.
There you go.
I don't know what's happening. How was the game today?
The game was excellent. The Cubs won 8-1. Aroldis Chapman came out and pitches really fast.
What did he get to today? Could you tell?
103. I won $5 from Matt Knutson.
103. He wasn't even trying.
No, we set the over-under at 102.
105
it
is
went
his
to
record.
103.
I think, I mean, a lot of people say Nolan didn't have a radar but could have done that. I can't. I don't know. But
Chapman is so tall.
Yeah.
He looks scary on the mound. I would not want to face him.
No.
Wow.
I mean, that's not career ending. That's life ending if you take that. Mm-hmm. Like, you take a 105. Not that I think he would ever miss.
No, it was fun. It was a fun game. Lots of good people. We actually, on Windy City Live this morning, we gave away two tickets to a woman who won a contest. We were raising money for Cars for Kids, and she won tickets to the ball game.
K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids.
It'll never be out of your head now.
Never.
It's in there forever.
Jingles, man.
So she was there. We had a good time. It was fun.
That's wonderful. Yeah, they did. 8-1, no less. I really wish they could win one at the Cell.
What's their middle relief look like right now? So you got great starting pitching that comes and goes, but it's amazing overall. Now you got a closer that's unstoppable. Who do you put up in the eighth? Are you confident in the seventh?
Hector Rondon was great.
He was.
And he's in the eighth inning now.
But is he gonna, is he going to play in the eighth just as well?
Well, he actually didn't play well in close games in the ninth. That's when he actually struggled for a closer. He has a good ERA. He closed out a lot of games when they were a few runs ahead.
Right.
But when they were really close, he actually did his worst. So being in the eighth might be a better spot for
less
him.
Less pressure.
Right.
Chapman's behind you. And,
mm-hmm. and then Strope moves to the seventh, and you've got Nathan, and you've got Grimm, and you've got Wood. I think they got a really good bullpen now.
Good. I'm a fan of Cubs fans. That's where I'm at. Man, I want it for you guys.
He's a Braves guy.
I know. It seems like this last month has made me a little nervous, quite frankly.
I know. It was off to such
a miraculous
start.
And we're all counting our World Series chickens already.
Yeah,
I never was.
True.
I said, you take it game by game. Craig, did I ever count my World Series chickens?
You did not.
No.
You may not admit it, but deep down,
I think Patty Out Loud did hope for a White Sox-Cubs World Series.
I did.
Oh, I would love that.
In the first month?
Man, rioting. Yeah.
In the first few months. Oh.
Think about what the Blackhawks
do. I hope,
do.
But if you recall, here was my problem with that, is that it was a lose-lose, right? It's a win lose, but also a lose-lose, because if the Cubs win, then we're kind of going to be jerks about it, right? And if the Sox win, we would never live it down. I mean, we would have to absolutely win.
This city shuts down for 48
hours.
This
show would write itself for 3 weeks with the stories that comes out
yes.
from that night.
Yes.
What would happen? The idiot bar brawls,
there would be a fissure through the city. It would just open up.
I worked in Wrigleyville
like
when the Hawks won the first, the first time
absolutely.
A few years
across
ago.
The streams. Yes.
It was nonsense. There was a couch on fire. Like in the streets, it was absolutely crazy. And that's ice soccer. I mean, think about baseball, sports that matter.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, oof.
Craig, I see sinkhole. It would be sinkhole written all over it.
Sounds like a sinkhole.
Yeah. We're not fans of sinkholes. We had one in the parking lot. I would say that's where we start. This building.
Yeah, I almost died.
Yeah. It's not good.
It would just be such a spectacle to see.
Yeah.
Like I tell all my Sox friends. The only thing better than the Cubs winning the World Series would be the Cubs beating the Sox in Game 7.
And this is what I'm saying. Bragging, hard bragging from either side forever. Because what are the chances that ever happens again?
Right.
Oh, it'd be brutal.
No, it would be wonderful. You know what would happen? It'd be the bottom of the ninth, and right before the game, Jesus would come down and go, "Hey, I told you I'd be back."
Pause.
Give me a minute.
Everybody pause. I got good news.
I got good news and I got bad news.
Were you guys doing something? Anyway, back
to
me.
I'm a Brewers fan. Yeah.
Oh, man. The only thing worse would be a Cardinals fan.
Oh, although please.
No, come on. The Mets are terrible.
Clearly, the Cardinals cipher is Satan himself, Lucifer.
Yeah. He hires all the cats.
Same color scheme.
Yeah, the red.
Yeah, see the red team. So Boston Red Sox as well. That would be the Devils team.
Yeah. I got you back on that.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
Yeah, it's all that. Mark DiCarlo, you have a show this Saturday night?
I do, Patty.
At
the Comedy Show.
Do you like how I changed my voice? I feel like I should do like a Charlie Rose sort of a situation. That's what we should do. I want a round table in here.
He has a nice big table.
He's a big, just like, you know, just complete. It looks like it's just floating.
You know, he's a luthier. He made that table himself.
Did he have his lathe?
He had a lathe. Luthier. He had a router.
A nice,
that's
you got a nice router.
Job.
Real nice
that's
router.
A
yeah, some nice fluting on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice table. Nice table.
Tell us about your show at the...
It's it's an improv show with the cast of the theater there at the Shrine. It's called the Who's Line Show at 8 o'clock, and they do a naughty show at 10 o'clock, which is, you know, for 21 and over.
So go to both.
Is it short form? Is it improv games, or is it like a story?
It's pretty much like the Who's Line television show. We'll get things from the audience, suggestions.
Okay, so here's what's going on right now. So for those of you out in the suburbs, out especially out in the western suburbs,
because if you're in the city, you're going to Lala. You're not going to go.
No, you're going to Vamp, which is a what?
It's a musical version of Who's Line.
We
bill ourselves as everyone is Wayne Brady. We have to go to each other's shows. That's what's happened.
Well, that's impossible, sure. Actually.
Oh,
you're gigging on Saturday?
Every Friday and Saturday forever, 10:30.
Forever.
Oh, I could possibly go Friday. Saturday, I can't go.
I can't take you Friday because I have a show.
Well, good news. It happens always.
If things go well for me, it's always on.
So we're into our third year now. That's crazy. What a small world.
That's amazing. Three years on a show like that. That's good to you. Good for you.
Thank you very much.
I said earlier you had to jam with each other, and that would make my head
musical.
Explode.
This is happening. So it's a total music show wall to wall?
Absolutely. We have a full band. It's BYOB, so you can hop in and just
bring your own band?
Bring your own booze. We use our band. But then you got four players, a host, and a bartender on stage. So we're drinking along too. And it's about an hour long, and it's our original games, but it's very Who's Line formatted, and we're just all making up and singing, and I freestyle rap every time, which is ridiculous.
I've seen it five or six times. It's one of the best shows in Chicago.
It's great, and we pay all of our improvisers.
And you know,
I'm very proud to say that.
That's great.
You know how harsh comics are on other comics.
Yes,
this is different.
But that's mostly stand-ups. Improvisers are much more collegial. Stand-ups are people with no souls.
I'm too afraid to get into that world.
You know what? Improvisers are dogs. Stand-ups are cats.
Oh, but you... Okay, I just dropped
that's
the mic.
That's a mic drop. That's a mic drop.
That's Mark DiCarlo. He'll be at the Comedy Shrine on Saturday night. The 8 o'clock show is the... You know, if you're going to be offended, if you're easily offended, if you're offended by this show, don't go to the 8 o'clock show. And...
I just dropped it again.
I know, you just dropped it again. You didn't do anything for that. No, the 8 o'clock show, is it family friendly? Is it all ages? Do you know?
It's not all ages, but it's definitely family friendly.
Family friendly. So bring your mom. Bring my mom.
You did bring your mom.
I did bring my mom. She had a great time. She couldn't think of... Oh, I'm going to turn your mic off just because my ears hurt. That's Mark DiCarlo. How can... He's also got the podcast Fork in the Road.
Fork on the Road. We just put out a new one all about summer road trips. We talked to the lady that runs gotrv.com. We talked to the folks at Raiden Luggage with their really cool new luggage that can charge your phone. You can go to forkontheroad.com. You can listen to that there.
If you're on WGMRadio.com, you can see that Mark DiCarlo has had to drop his head to the counter in order to use the microphone he dropped. Once you drop the microphone, you're supposed to walk away.
It really is supposed to be the period to your paragraph. Yes. I'm kind of milking it.
No, I think it was much more powerful to do the head drop.
Yeah.
That was visually really nice.
You did a head drop. See what I like that. Oh, there you go. So that's Mark DiCarlo. Go to Fork on the Road on iTunes, and you can go to see him. You can go to see him. I am using all the prepositions at my disposal.
Hey, you're paying for them. You might as well use them,
You
Patty.
May as well use them. He'll be at the Comedy Shrine on Saturday night at 8 and 10 o'clock. Safe travels, my friend.
Thank you, Patty.
I'll see you again this weekend.
Bye, everybody.
I miss you so much. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, hanging out with Brandon C. Price. Up in traffic, we have Esmeralda. Craig is in the producer's booth. And I am watching, I just finished last night, actually, at like, I want to say 5:30 this morning. I finished watching Stranger Things.
Oh, so good.
Oh, my God. Esmeralda, are you going to watch?
I'm going to watch it. I haven't started.
It's really good. Craig, are you familiar? Because it's exploding on Facebook.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of really great things. I haven't seen it yet.
Dude, get into it. You're going to like it.
Okay.
I personally hate scary movies. It's very emasculating.
As
for
do
me.
I.
Yeah, but yep. I'm telling you, this skirts the line. This gets all the good parts without all that like, oh no, why am I doing this to
murder?
Myself? Yeah, well, it's cool.
Right. Well, there are elements of it that are part Stephen King, part E.T., actually, oddly
very
enough.
Valid. But I mean, it's hitting that 80s so hard,
oh
but
God.
Not in like a parody way. In a tribute way.
Yeah.
The intro alone, you're like, okay, I remember everything and take me back.
I can taste the fake wood paneling on all the walls.
Wainscoting.
It is, and the shag carpeting the woven wool.
The phone you have to hang up.
Isn't that, and there's a cord. Was that weird to see a phone on a cord?
My goodness.
I really have enjoyed it. But it seems to me as though this is another show that is being propelled by the buzz on social media. Because I wouldn't have watched, and I have to say, I'm generally, I didn't like Murder in America, American Murder.
Making a Murder.
That one. I heard a lot about it, and I was like, well, everyone's having a conversation.
Yeah.
So I watched, you know, part of an episode, and I just wasn't drawn into it.
The exact same thing.
But this one, you know, people were, so many posts about it, including Kristen Decker, who, by the way, is live blogging for the Democratic National Convention. She's been doing that along with a whole team of bloggers for WGN Radio. You can go to WGNradio.com and see all the tweets, not just from them, but also what people are saying in response to the speeches. So I'm not that much on Twitter, and I know people are tweeting, you know, stranger things, but on Facebook, I mean, they're going into detail about, like, you know, watching it in the dark and how they're drawn into it. It's a great show. And in the same way, I also was influenced by social media to do Orange is the New Black and a lot of other shit. What else have you watched?
I love two things. I love cartoon comedies and I love period pieces. So I watched Rick and Morty and Turn right now.
What's Turn?
Turn is an American Revolution spy piece.
Ooh.
It's very cool. And I also like terrible action movies. I love that. That's my favorite
thing.
What
did you think of the A-Team? Did you see that one?
Oh, absolutely. I like the
A-Team movie. Nobody likes that movie. I don't know why that was the first one that popped in my head when you said bad action movies.
Yeah, I love, like, any Nicolas Cage movie. Face Off, classically
Con Air?
Terrible.
Stop it.
That's the worst Southern accent I've ever heard.
So,
and I work so hard to hide mine, and that is that's almost offensive to me.
It's so good,
and
though.
And it's so good.
He went to jail for having a black belt because he was considered a lethal weapon.
Dude.
Why do I remember these things?
Because it's important.
What's the Nick Cage movie where he can see into the future, but just, like, a few seconds?
Oh, that's also terribly great.
It's also terribly amazing. Whatever that's called, like Next or something.
And then I think of True Lies, which is Arnold's best terrible movie.
That was really good. All I have to do is rip the sleeves off a bad dress and you are a hottie.
I got to say, though, Rick and Morty, I got to tell everybody about that. It is an absolute nonsense, dark comedy cartoon. And it is, I mean, I think it has a cult following. Talk about Twitter. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because I love the Twitter. At Brandon C. Price.
And the Twitter
Price
loves you. I'm sorry, what was that? At Brandon C. Price 5.
Five. Absolutely. Get on it. Rick and Morty is just genius. It's just genius. And it's on Hulu, both seasons. Everyone should watch it. If you like Family Guy, Simpsons, if that's your vibe, this is a better version of those things.
I don't watch either one of those. Esmeralda, wasn't there one you watched that was with a horse that talks?
Yeah, BoJack Horseman.
Who is that? Who's the main guy?
Oh, man. The guy from Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Will Forte.
Yes.
Will Jason. Arnett.
Will Arnett. Yes. Will Arnett. That's who it is.
They actually just did their third season, and it's so good. It doesn't even... It's weird because it's a cartoon, but for some reason, at one point, it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There's animals that are people-like, but for some reason, it just does not matter because the story is so good about this kind of washed-out actor, or washed-up actor who's trying to essentially... just trying to find meaning in his life.
It's got that awkward thing, though. And so for me, like The Office, I understand The Office is great. I understand everyone loves it. But I empathize too hard with Michael Scott, and I can't watch more than half an episode because it makes me so uncomfortable.
Okay, see, and this is why I didn't like Seinfeld, was because the show made me uncomfortable. And I've spent so much time explaining myself to people.
Yeah.
It made me uncomfortable.
The Office is like a million times harder than that for me personally. Like, I can get through Seinfeld. I have the same feeling. And it's obvious. And again,
have you seen later seasons of The Office, though? Because eventually I think even the show acknowledges that he's a likable character and you get to like him. He's not always as awful as he is at the beginning.
It's not even that he's awful. It's just the mistakes he makes socially. Like, all I can do is think about what would happen to me if I was doing that, or if I was in the room with someone doing that, and my skin crawls.
See? That's like, what I'm saying. There are certain shows that draw you in and you identify with too much. 312-981-7200. Is there a show that you're identifying with too much or have? Or what are you watching on Netflix? Are you influenced by social media? You're like, oh, everyone's talking about it. I may as well check it out. Are you disappointed or, you know, pleasantly surprised? More after this on 720 WGN. I don't know why I felt like playing that. For me, I always think of Pee Wee Herman and Pee Wee Herman's Big Top. Do you, Esmeralda? He's dancing a little bit.
Doing the dance
in his big platform shoes.
And then he gets endeared, right? He's endearing then to the bikers.
Have you seen Pee Wee Herman's Big Top Adventure?
That was the era where I still wasn't allowed to watch anything but country music
videos and Christian tapes.
Oh.
The Easter Story, dude. Ran that about a million times.
Okay. you might want to go back and check that one out.
All right.
There was a series.
Does it hold up?
I haven't seen it.
It's like the Goonies. That's a good question. Everyone tells me to watch the Goonies. I watch it. I'm like, okay, you liked it when you were kids.
I've never seen
this. This is not a good film.
I think Pee Wee still does for most people.
It might.
The newer one on Netflix that he just did was fantastic as well.
Oh, he's back.
Yeah, he's totally back.
Love when people get work.
Well, can you believe that what derailed it? I mean, he went to go see porn in a theater. Right.
But back in the day, that's a thing.
Can you imagine that was a thing?
Like, I remember my club magazine in fifth grade, the life-changing porn that I saw for the first time. You know what I mean?
But you weren't in a theater with other people in like velvet seats and popcorn containers.
But everybody's got their thing, you know?
Everyone's got their thing. That's just a weird way to absorb that sort of a visual.
Wait, they gave popcorn?
That's how he got caught, I believe. I think didn't he have popcorn? I don't know.
We're the last generation that won't know what it, like, the inability to see the opposite sex or the sex that you're interested in any way, position, shape, or form that you want to immediately. We're the only ones that will remember the mystery of the opposite sex without clothes on.
Scrambled channels.
Oh yeah, flipping back and forth to see Eyes Wide Shut on HBO.
Just try to hear the. I just need some sound. I just need some sound and something that looks like it's the hips and whatever else is going on.
No one will ever know that joy, and it's desensitizing.
It is. We've talked a little bit about how porn can also be desensitizing when you
completely.
Yeah, you know, we kind of lose sense with what's real and what's not. There was a great movie, Don Juan, with John. What's the name of the guy? He played Robin.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Not John at all. Because of Don John. But he's addicted to porn. So his real experiences don't meet up with that. They don't.
Yeah, of course they never would.
They never would. And then so he struggles. Like he goes after really hot women because that's what he sees in porn. And you have, these expectations and, you know, what the right position and what's going to look great and what's going to feel great. And even when he's making love to Scarlett Johansson, he still has to go and take care of himself with porn because it's not meeting that expectation.
Man. Scarlett Johansson, though, bro.
I know. But he connects with a woman who's older, and there's an emotional thing there, and he learns about what that means.
The line between seeing something and learning that that is what helped, that is your thing, and seeing something so unrealistic that now you've tailored your expectations to a place that is never going to happen.
Right.
I think you just have to communicate. Like, you have to have a person that you're comfortable with enough to communicate and be like, I have seen this a bunch, and I'd like to try it. And what do you think about that? Instead of just like, I'm never going to be happy or say anything.
I can't even, really go to a place where, you know, that's, you know, I'm more of a hit it and quit it kind of a person when it comes to online porn.
I mean, yeah, the
I use
story,
it for my purposes.
I'm fast forwarding through the story. There we go. I'm out.
Is it sad when you can't, when it's exactly, this is all I needed. It's kind of sad when you cross that divide of when you used to be able to just use your imagination and then.
Well, I challenge myself to do so.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I need to still be able to do that.
Work that muscle.
Absolutely. I'm an improviser. I got to be able to.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got the whole improv thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta be able to adapt.
But it is harder. It is harder.
Yeah, it's a lot more work.
Yeah.
And then anything can throw it off. Like, you have to be in the right room, in the right place. Yeah.
Shower, bro.
Yeah. The phone rings. You're like, oh, should I check? Your mind, part of it is that your mind wanders so much more easily.
Yes, our attention spans are so tiny now because of the age of information.
Right. You start
it's
thinking,
harder.
And you don't want to update your Facebook status with that.
No. Finally did it. Yeah.
Although, I mean, like, how many people do? Like, it is amazing. I wonder how many people, because I've never seen anyone do that as a Facebook status update, except for one comedian named Rena Kalm. She will update when she was able, like, she was late going somewhere because that's what she was attending to.
Hey, man. Zero in on it.
I know recently Meredith Ketchel, she posted about watching things and looking for something that wasn't just girls with long nails and big boobs.
Do you ever watch things together?
No, I never. I mean, in college I did, but like.
Well, I mean,
weird.
Like with your partner. Not
and actually,
with a bunch of
comics, yeah. I've done that too. No, not with my partner. Never with any partner.
I was in a summer stock theater and they watched it. Like, the group of people watched porn, like, together. And I'm like, look, there's only one reason to watch this and we can't do that right now. So what are you people doing?
Right. this is very awkward. How do we, you know, what's the final destination here?
Well, have you seen the Dan Savage does that festival where it's all homemade porn?
Ooh, oh,
So it's a film fest.
Right.
So you're in a theater.
Oh, is it like a competition? Like, honey, we could win this year.
I think it may be. But I know, like, people submit. And so, you know, I'm sure you just go there and you're like, hey, look, that's my buddy.
That's awesome. Everybody, just be who you are and do what you do and just live your life and enjoy it.
Marie Claire had an article about the hottest porn for women on the internet. I mean, what quantifies it? For me, it's usually like, you know, could the guys be a little, you know, if the women have to be all skinny and ripped and, you know.
Oh, but there's everything now. All you got to do is type it in. My girlfriend Margaret was talking about, like, I explained to her that everything is porn. Literally, if you can think of a thing, the internet has a porn version of that thing.
Oh, yes. I wasn't sure, because the idea that everything is porn was very confusing.
Okay,
for a minute.
Valid.
Yes.
I'm glad I clarified.
Thank you.
But, it's, I mean, important. That's just so cool. So if you're not into giant fake boobs and long nails, you can go the opposite way. You can do anything you want, and it's both beautiful and desensitizingly odd.
Right.
I don't know where I fall on it. I just want everyone to be sexually happy and just live your life.
I'm still surprised at how many people pay for online porn, though.
Yeah. I mean, that is nuts.
I don't exactly. I mean, like, how much do you need?
Ad blocker on Chrome and live your life.
I don't even have that much problem. There's also a website called Porn Dude, so you can kind of go there for all the top lists. You know, whether it's amateur. Why am I? This is our little PSA.
Yeah, we went this.
TNASA. I don't know.
Nice.
I'm just trying to be helpful. We were supposed to talk about virtual reality on Facebook and face identification.
Which is also a huge thing.
Well, the thing is, I can't open, like, I can open Pornhub.com, but I can't open the articles that are linked in my email for the show rundown. It says it's being blocked by a pop-up. And I'm like, oh, but I can go to Porn Dude, and that's fine. All right, then.
Well.
It is weird when you load a photo onto Facebook and it immediately goes, are you with Brandon C. Price?
Yeah.
That is so strange.
But it's happening. I think, like, I used to be freaked out by it. I used to have my Nokia and think that I'm not going to have any of those apps that can trace me and all that kind of stuff. But it's going to happen either way. It's like I was telling you off air, that Google Earth, Margaret and I are taking a trip down to Alabama where I'm from. I can see the rusted out tractor in the middle of the woods. That's nonsense. And so it's just happening. Technology is happening. You can either go with the flow and get on the bus, or you can be left behind and be very odd, and they'll still be able to track you. I mean, just don't do anything terribly illegal and live your life.
Well, isn't that true of everything? Because I heard Steve Cochran talking the other day about, you know, don't put it in writing in an email or on social media.
That is very true.
I do. I was wondering that the other day. If someone was to go through all my emails, would I have anything embarrassing in there? And I mean, maybe I got some complaints in there and stuff, but I think I could take it.
I mean, I'm in a different period of my life, but in previous periods, I'm sure that person made some significant mistakes in writing things down. And even if you delete them, I'm sure everything is still everywhere.
The problem with me is I use Google chats. And those are all saved.
Oh, yeah.
Are they really?
So
all that stuff.
That could be a problem.
I mean, Snapchat has a server.
Oh, it does.
Everything you think is going away is going somewhere.
I don't know how to use Snapchat. I mean, people seem to, you know, do like funny faces on themselves.
It's a marketing thing now. Because it's beautiful, because it's not like Instagram where you have to like really curate a post and make an image nice. It's so in the moment that it's just a communication. My girlfriend will never call me, but she will Snapchat me all day long. I don't have to ask, hey, how was your day? Because I know already.
She takes a photo of how she feels emotionally?
Yeah. Or like, look at this funny thing that's happening, or look where I am right now, or look at what this Lyft driver is listening to. And so I know the story of her day. We use it for Vamp a little bit, too. You can get 30 likes on an Instagram post, but you can have 100 people follow your story. And it goes, and it happens, and it goes away, and you don't have to worry about blurry pictures or odd
videos.
What do you
mean by story, though?
So I can either send you a snap, which is I control 5 seconds. I've shown you an image of whatever I want. You see it for 5 seconds. Poof, it's gone. Nobody can access it anymore. Your story lasts for 24 hours. So if I take that same image, I have an option of putting it on my story.
Okay.
And then now anyone who's my friend can check my story and all the things that I've posted in the previous 24 hours.
It just runs together? Like,
yep.
One,
I mean,
video?
It's like going on somebody's Facebook wall.
I've had my Snapchat app on my phone for about 3 or 4 months, and I keep getting alerts like, hey, Kevin Bozeman's got a story for you or a photo.
Do you look at all the filters, though?
I don't.
That's all I do now is look at the filters and take pictures, but never post them on Snapchat.
Well, they just went to save, like, I forget what, Memories is what it's called. So now you can actually send pictures you're not just taking, and now you can save images. And I think that's a mistake on their part because they really cornered a market of in the moment. It's very odd, and it's it's what everyone's doing. Again, you just gotta get on the bus.
All right. Otherwise, what happens? Am I under the bus?
I don't know. You're like, oh, how do you plug in the VCR? You know, wow. That's going to happen. Like,
so, and you can do video with Snapchat as well.
Absolutely. Yes? That's right. For limited time. Is this happening right now? I'm being snapped.
Oh, it's on me. I don't want it on me.
Not yesterday, but a few weeks ago, Kim Kardashian posted that whole thing with Taylor Swift.
Oh, T-Swift.
With the video of her saying, yeah, no, I'm cool with that lyric that Kanye West rapped that I was saying was offensive. And it blew up. Like, everyone's like, everyone hates Taylor Swift now. Oh. And it broke on Snapchat.
I took a very blurry Snapchat photo of...
But you don't have to worry about the fact that it's blurry because it poof,
I
goes
get rid
away.
Of it.
Oh,
it
and you can blurry. Just keep doing it.
Right. But how do I do video?
You got to do the
just hold it
filter.
Down. You hold the button down.
Oh, for video?
Mm-hmm.
And
you can do it to a Chicago story. So you can watch Chicago story and see people around Chicago and what they're doing. And it's just a random algorithm, which is beautiful because it's not like a Facebook or an Instagram algorithm, which is trying to predict what you want. It's just randomly showing you the world. And it's kind of cool. It's a little window into everybody else's life.
I feel like I just took a bunch of the still shots of you. So this is what it looks like. Is that's all?
I look great.
You look fantastic. Don't cut your hair. It's really good.
God bless. I'm very lucky for the hair that I have.
And you have still not been smoking?
I have not smoked for 114 days.
And do you have an app that tells you how much money you
Absolutely.
Saved? And where are you at?
I've spent all that money. Let me rest assured that money's gone anyway.
Do bananas still taste gross?
That's settled down a little bit.
Oh, good.
I mean, the answer is yes.
But I think they're disgusting. I don't like bananas.
It took me
anyway.
A minute. It was. It was heightened for a second. What won't come back for a while is my voice, the range in my voice. They say it takes 6 to 8 months.
Wait a minute.
For the healing.
Smoking improves the range of your voice?
No, but it absolutely is a detriment to it. Right. However, if I had a cigarette right now and then sang, I think I would have a little bit more range. It's what you're used to, and it's the damage that it's done takes about 6 to 8 months to go away. That's what they're telling me. I pray that they're right because my job involves singing.
I wonder, should we have him sing to Lourdes Duarte? We're going to do our pretty late wake-up call for Lourdes, who was late to her job yesterday. She woke up at 3-something, and she's supposed to be up before that. She does the morning news. What do you think, Craig? We do some sort of wake-up?
Yeah,
song?
We can do a wake-up song, or he can rap. I think he's a rap
there we go.
Magician. Well,
yeah. Okay. Waking up Lourdes Duarte, so she's not late for work.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. See, Annabella Val said she was late today because she woke up too late for her job. Give her a business situation, you're like, oh!
Oh, absolutely.
I should be at work right now. We'll be calling Lourdes Duarte from WGN Morning News in just a moment.
Wake me up before you go, don't leave me hanging.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and it's time for our Pretty Late Wake-Up Call. And poor Lourdes Duarte was late for work. And I only know that because I was listening to Bill and Wendy today, and Annabella Val was filling in for Bill Leff, and she was telling that story because apparently Wendy likes to get into the station right before the show starts. She's like me. Mm-hmm. It's like, get in, hit the ground running.
I was here before you today.
You were. Here's the thing is that I get here, and like I'm ready to talk when I, like, I don't, you know, if I get here and I'm like sitting around and waiting for the show, and like, I'm like, ah, it's like stand-up comedy.
Yep.
Here we go. We got, let me do this. And we are calling Lourdes Duarte, who is the co-anchor of WGN Morning News.
Hello, this is Lourdes Duarte with WGN TV. Please leave a message and I will return your call. Thank you.
Please leave your message after the tone. When done, hang up or press the pound key.
It's very official. Hello, Lourdes Duarte. This is Patty Vasquez at WGN Radio.
Craig Collins.
And Esmeralda Leon.
Brandon C. Price.
And we heard that you may have hit a little bit of a snag before you got to work yesterday, so we thought we would help you out a little bit. I don't know if you're already up. I wonder if she went to bed at all. When you wake up late for a job that, you know, you're supposed to be on air because there's so much involved in getting to the station. For, not only do you have to drive there, but you have to decide what you, I don't know if she's already, like, do you think she lays her clothes out the night before? Like, what's going to go? Accessories? But she's got to do her hair. She's got to have makeup done. There's a lot that goes in. So if you wake up at 3, after 3 in the morning, and your job is at 4 a.m.
What's the commute, though? I think that's the question.
I don't know, but for a woman, I mean, Esmeralda, like, let's say your top-notch look, because Lourdes Duarte is spectacular, and she looks spot on every single day for like an event. Like, let's say the wedding you went to with that beautiful dress. That you, how long did it take you to get ready?
Oh, my gosh.
See?
It was like an hour.
Right.
It was a good hour.
A good hour, and you looked stunning, right?
Oh, thank you.
And I got to guess that Lourdes, maybe she's got like a system down. I don't know, because she does it all the time. You and I, like, we pick and choose, right?
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. And... Well, I wonder, do they do the makeup there, or does she have to do it?
Oh, yeah. Do they have people?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
They do have people.
Oh, that's cool.
I had my
that's
makeup cool. done once. It took...
Yeah.
I think it took an hour, just the makeup.
I don't
just
like when people do that. Like, when the waiter, like, puts the napkin in your lap because you're somewhere fancy. I like, valet, I think they're taking my car. I don't like it.
I don't know about... yes, Craig? Are you going to say something?
No.
I've never had a napkin thrown in my lap.
Yeah, you know, like they put your silverware down. I
that
I just,
waiter
I,
really liked you.
Do you have to wear a suit? Did you have to wear a suit coat?
I mean, I wear a suit coat every Friday and Saturday.
Do you have to wear a tie?
Yeah, absolutely. But that takes me 5 minutes. And then this hair, I either wrangle in or just live with it.
Yeah. I remember getting ready for morning news when Anna DeVantes was at Fox News down the street. We had a segment called Chat Room that I would do regularly with her. And they would send me the topics. And so I remember getting up and, you know, spending about an hour, you know, with the fake eyelashes and flat ironing the hair, thinking, I'm not even looking at the topics yet because I'm getting ready. And when dudes get ready for morning appearances like that, they're probably on the topics, you know, writing notes.
Yeah.
This is, I know it's first world problems, but still.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry about it.
But if I went on TV, can you imagine going on TV with, like, just the bare minimum? I mean, guys get some makeup.
A little foundation, a little rouge on the cheeks, absolutely. A little eyeliner if you're feeling sort of tired.
But now we need contouring, you know, we gotta do here.
And well, and it's TV,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's a whole different
And now it's
thing.
HD TV.
Oh, yes.
My God. And then
which is
they
a whole,
see
like,
everything.
Hey, look at, I can count this dude's pores.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the makeup I do would not work on TV. I would look like an old bum. Lady.
Hope, you would not. You could never look like an old bum lady.
On TV, though, where they see everything?
No,
I couldn't.
You have a beautiful face.
It's frightening. Mm.
Thank you.
We didn't even do a wake-up rap for her.
Well.
I feel like, I wonder if we should call back. Because if we call back, it's not like...
Whenever we call back, people answer.
Okay, she's got to wake up.
Well, no,
she's
I think
wake
her phone
up.
Is off
Zach?
Because I think she's
God.
An intelligent sleeper.
Yeah,
but let's get a beatbox for next week.
A beatbox? You want to call her again next week? Okay, we'll do it. You want to do it next week, not now?
I would love to come back next week.
Will you come back every week, but you don't want to do it right now?
I can't do it a cappella.
What do you want to do for, you don't want to leave any song for Lourdes Duarte?
Do you want Patty to beatbox for you?
Well, first off, yes. Let's just sample that.
Wow, she's laying it down. That was nice.
Esmeralda, I can do these. Hold on, remember
that Esmeralda to get in on it, too.
Yeah, Esmeralda.
Boom. Boom.
Whoa.
Boom.
How do you start a
beatbox?
Craig,
what do you got? What do you got?
I've got nothing. I can't do that either.
I was going to say, let's overlap. Boom.
Yeah,
boom.
We're all doing it.
There you go.
We're rapping with a beatbox.
All right, fine. We're not going to beatbox.
I can't believe that wasn't on the voicemail, by the way.
Like, we're well past the voicemail.
Oh, no, we're not on the voicemail.
That is a shame.
I know. She has a small voicemail. That sounded like I was judging her.
No.
I'm not judging her.
Well, her message is very straight and to the point.
It was.
So I would think.
Yeah, leave your name and number.
You got to just go right into it.
You got to hit it and quit it. I almost feel like we should call Annabelle Oval now. She had a long day. She's moving. I didn't know she... Okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to get into Annabelle Val's...
her new address is.
Yes.
Did you see the other WGN traffic? Aaron McElroy was wearing two different shoes.
Oh,
yesterday.
See, a lot of chaos at WGN
something
Morning
happened
News.
Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. I do love her hair. I think it's nice.
Aaron's?
Oh,
my God.
Aaron, heal me. I have to pick up it. Now he needs a picture of Aaron. Everyone
too
loves
cute.
Aaron. Do you like gingers? Do you like redheads?
My beautiful girlfriend, Margaret, is a redhead.
Hello, beautiful
girlfriend,
Margaret.
She's an Italian redhead, so it was like three double down wins.
Aaron McElroy has...
I wish she was up right now. I'd be getting so many points.
Well, she'll hear it.
But it's still true. I stand by it.
Here's the thing. Everything's going to be podcast. It'll be up. The whole full show goes up at like 7 a.m. There's some short stuff that comes up earlier. So you can play the podcast for her.
Well, listen,
tomorrow.
We have a 17-hour drive soon. So I'll make her listen to me compliment her in front of everyone.
Be like, hey, this is on the podcast. Look at
she's
that.
An opera singer, too. Yeah. I'm just going to keep bragging until you show me Aaron's hair.
I know. Well, here's the different versions of Aaron's hair. So here's a lot of Aaron. So short and long and all of it.
So I used to work somewhere where we would have GN on, and they'd always be like, the princess is on. Because she is gorgeous. Oh, she's gorgeous. And she used to
and
have...
she's super nice.
Yeah, remember when she had the really long hair?
Yeah, he's looking at those pictures as well.
Oh, so pretty. I mean, it's great now, but it was really gorgeous, too.
WGN, man. They just put up pretty people.
She's like, got good hair.
24/7.
They are, everybody's so funny or talented and insightful. I love the WGN Morning News scene. By the way, speaking of the podcast, they are available at WGNradio.com as well as sometimes on my Facebook page. I'm trying to figure out a system to it, but I want to let you know about a listener who sent me a message, our friend in South Dakota. We played an interview from my friend Kathy Owen, who battled breast cancer on and off for 4 years. When she was first diagnosed, it was because she had pushed for a second opinion, and her first doctor said, I'm not really concerned about this lump that you're presenting with.
Always go second opinion.
And she did, and she pushed for it. And we replayed that interview because it was Kathy's birthday not too long ago, and a listener heard that, how you have to be an advocate, how you sometimes have to, like, just, and also self-exam, you know, be aware of your body.
For sure.
And you have to, and it's weird, you know, to examine yourself, because you're kind of hoping that, obviously you're hoping there's nothing there.
Right.
And if you do find something, you dismiss it very easily. And one of our listeners pushed past that fear and went to the doctor and found out that she was indeed had a biopsy and she has cancer, and she wanted to thank our show for saving her life. And it's not, you know what, you saved your life. Thank you so much for letting us know, and we want to know how you're doing. But we're here in the middle of the night. So sometimes, you know, you kind of listen to a show and you go, oh, I wonder if that's me. And one of our goals on the show is to always let you know that you're not the only one. And it maybe not tonight, maybe not tomorrow night, but one of these nights, hopefully we cover something that you realize, oh, I'm not the only one. And we are here for you.